One, two, three! Oh! Here he goes! Oh!
Oh! If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
You are listening to a 5-hour experimental presentation. For further information, you will need to keep listening to your radio.
I can't believe all the inappropriate things I hear on the radio. I mean, I don't want my kids listening to that stuff.
First of all, how would you rate the program? Would you say it was excellent, very good, good, fair, or poor?
I think I'd give it a poor.
The next word is funny. Would you say it is very descriptive, somewhat descriptive, or not at all descriptive of the show?
No, not at all descriptive.
So what'd you do at these radio stations, on air?
I don't have what is widely considered to be an on-air personality.
Unless your local government has given you other instructions, turn on the radio.
And now.
Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater.
The only thing left would be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Our feature presentation.
Yeah, that's pretty true. That's been born out to be true on many occasions.
Sadly, it's true.
It's a beautiful
ask
jog.
Tom Likas if you don't believe us.
It's a beautiful jog for ugly people. Works perfect. Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31, and it is Thursday, the 10th of Do You Like It in the Ass?
Butt sex is wild, and it don't cause no child.
Start today off with a song.
It's pretty.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
This little piano. Mariah Carey, right?
There's a hero.
Yes.
If you look inside your heart, you don't have to be afraid of what you are.
Where's your girlfriend been, by the way?
There's an answer.
I don't know.
If you reach into your soul, and the sorrow that you know will melt away.
Total crap.
And then a hero comes along with the strength to carry on, and you cast your fear aside.
Here's what I like. There's some guy in a studio going, yes, that's it, keep going.
Uh-huh.
That's exactly what we're looking for. Good work. I think we had a good session today.
And you know you can survive.
Hey, you've bought every album she's ever made, man.
That's true. I have like six or seven.
Look inside you and be strong. And you finally see the truth that a hero lies in you.
Oh, that's so nice, huh?
It's beautiful.
Inspirational.
Her name is Wing. And she bad. But
and
she,
by bad you mean?
But,
wonderful.
But she awesome. Thinks she's good, and that's what we love.
We actually got the chance to interview Wing at one point, didn't we? Did we talk to her? And she was pretty mm-hmm. serious about it, right? I mean, she didn't act as if she thought it were a joke. She was pleased with her recordings.
Yeah, I think she believes in her success, and she sees a bright future for herself.
She does
I do too.
Right?
I guess
she's been
yes.
to the States. I know she was in San Francisco performing.
Yeah,
couldn't get her down here, but
yeah,
and that was a huge disappointment.
Kristen Christmas.
It was.
True.
That'd be awesome.
Kevin would so mount her if he could. I mean, seriously,
while she was singing. She didn't have to be singing at the time.
Couldn't make it any worse.
It's a singer that we discovered from South Park. They did an episode where the guys were the PR agents for this singer named Wing, and she actually exists. It's unbelievable. She has six, seven, eight CDs full of music, which is unbelievable. And the high quality of the backing tracks.
I'm disappointed she's not in the upcoming Mamma Mia movie. They could have used her for that. Gotta sing better than Meryl Streep.
She's like a bad William Hung, if that's possible.
She might not sing better than
or a good Armenian comedian.
Oh, sweet girl, watch the scene,
a shirt. I don't have a wing t-shirt, I don't think.
Some people
concert tee.
Decide on songs based on, I don't know, the key.
Yeah. They can sing it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's...
Not being, that does not stop her, regardless of the key that that song is
that's
in.
That's not... Classic.
She did the original of this. AC/DC covered her song.
That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's what I like. They do not spare any expense when it comes to percussion.
Yeah.
The drums are high quality.
Asking nothing, leave me be. Taking everything in my stride.
Don't it be so. We got the Armenian comedian to do a duet with her.
It's not the law, what I do.
Going down, yeah. Party time. My friends are going to be there.
Sorry. I could listen to
that
all day.
That's an original. That's ours.
I could listen to that all day.
Absolutely.
Oh, she's so good.
And beautiful.
I love Wing. And beautiful?
Yes.
Wow.
Tiny hands.
Oh, wait, ugly.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
So what's everybody else doing? Bean, how you doing?
Fine. Very excited about our guest. A rare 6 o'clock in-studio appearance from one of our guests this morning. The great director Guillermo del Toro will be joining us. I'm very excited about that. I'm a big fan of him.
Those of you who don't recognize the name, Hellboy 2
That's
is
right.
coming out soon.
It's funny that I'm a big fan of him, yet I haven't seen Hellboy.
Well,
but you've seen his other stuff.
I have seen other movies from him, and he's terrific. He's one of those guys who's just... he's just operating at a different level than everybody else. Visually, story-wise, direction. I mean, he's just he's a real talent.
Did somebody order Mexican?
Well, yeah.
As it turns out.
He's coming in, and I'm looking forward to that.
That may be my favorite superhero.
Really?
Because, well, it's a dude. It's an alien, right? I can't remember.
I thought he was from... I am not familiar with that much either, but I thought the United States government discovered him, and he was actually...
Yeah, but he was like one of the... There are seven gods of chaos or something in the story, and he was... I'm sorry, Ralph, I don't follow it like you.
Your favorite superhero movie.
No,
you have no idea what it's about.
I said it's my favorite superhero because the thing about him, Lisa, if you haven't seen it either, is that he's got a giant, like, rock hand. But only one, just his right hand. Left hand, normal.
He's a demon.
A demon, okay.
He's from hell.
Okay.
Hence the name Hellboy.
Okay.
And they
There's no hint there, Ralph. There's no way to tell that.
They discovered him as a small child when he came out of the mouth of hell, and these scientists and government officials adopted him and raised them as his own, and he cut off his own horns in order to make himself more human, in order to show that he was not a demon, he was working on our side. And that's why he's got those stumpy, flat horn nubs.
He cut
them
off, but not down to head level. They do have to stick out enough.
A couple inches, you know, but he's just taking the sharp. You know, it's like a bull. When you run with the bulls, they take the sharp edge of the horns off so you don't get gored.
But doesn't he still stand out a little bit from other people by being bright red?
By being made of largely of rock and being bright red? Well, that's why they keep him under wraps. The government only uses him when we have problems here in the U.S. with demons attacking our way of life. They release Hellboy and the rest of
But why only one hand?
His team. That's just the way he was born, man. Don't make fun of his handicap.
Just saying.
He's got a giant rock-like hand, and the other one's fine. I mean, he smokes cigars, and he's just a hard-living, boozing, just tough guy, and I love him.
And everybody complains, and then the government puts him back in their little cage, and then, they need him.
But now they need
some trouble.
Sure, when the demons hit
bring him back out.
Who are you going to talk to?
That's right.
Yeah,
Hellboy. Well, anyway, that movie comes out Friday. And I can't wait for that. We're going to talk to Guillermo coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also on today's show, we have Joe Maloof and Rob Dyrdek.
Okay.
I'd like to put that all that ugliness about the name behind us, if we could.
Oh, we won't bring it up.
Like right now, this will be the last time we talk about it.
Certainly. We won't even mention it.
Are you at all nervous you're going to say it wrong?
No.
Really? Seriously?
Because
I would be.
No. I said, but... For those of you who didn't know, we had Rob Dyrdek in, I don't know.
6 weeks ago.
6 weeks ago or so. And I love Robin Big. He strikes me kind of as me, but with talent. You know what I mean? Like, he's got the same kind of attitude. But I called him the wrong name his entire visit in here.
Rob Dearden.
It was. Dearden,
right?
I said Dearden. This is me saying that.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
For those of you who didn't see, Rob Dearden is part of Robin Big. And we'll talk more about that and more with Rob Dearden. Again, Rob is getting 41. Rob Dearden is in the studio. He is half of Robin Big.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
So nobody said anything because they all found it funny.
Including, right? Including Rod Dearden.
Including him. And then they told me later that I had said his name wrong the entire time while he was in the studio. So that's not good.
I'm sure it'll be fine today.
I am. I'm pretty confident I'm going to say it right because that's one of those guys that I love. And then I just said it wrong every time. It's that stuck out to me a little. Wow. As perhaps.
Hey, remember when my boss called you Rob Dearden for about 3 hours straight?
Love that. I love that so much. I love it so much. I love the fact that I just didn't say anything and then it just kept riding and riding. Like, I just love it.
You made the whole thing gold. It could have been just like one little slip up, but you made it a legendary moment.
I just love. I'm glad that I have that opportunity to share that with those guys because it is funny.
Booyah!
Yeah.
Just so you know, I got $5 against you.
F you all. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the office pool got started already.
Fantastic. Can I get in on it? Also on today's show, we are going to talk to Jay Lewis, who is the author of a new book that Psycho Mike should be in.
Hey.
Called Hot Chicks with Douchebags.
Oh, yeah.
And I know you said your website.
Yeah, it's very funny. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's hot chicks that you can't believe they're with that dude. And I said yesterday after the show, I said, I'm really disappointed that Mike's not in this book. And Ralph made me feel better with something that he pointed out. No Bean, Mike is on every single page of this book.
Yeah, it's true.
Because he really is. There's a little bit of Mike in every single one of the douchebags that's with one of these girls.
But this is written very funny, and there's a lot of good pictures. A lot of good pictures.
Yeah.
Girl's so hot, and the guy's making a stupid "who's with me" face. So, anyway, we're going to talk to the author of that book. We have tickets for you to go to the VH1 Rock Honors, which we're going to do just after 6 o'clock this morning.
And they're honoring who this year?
Yes,
yes, exactly.
Is that what I'm supposed to?
Yes,
right, good.
You did it.
Well done. Fantastic. Couldn't be happier. And don't forget, listen every day at 8 a.m., at noon, 4 and 8, to score an Xbox 360 Rock Band. You get tickets to the Mayhem Festival. And Friday morning, tomorrow morning, we're going to do a grand prize drawing that somebody's going to be able to go to the show in a helicopter. And then you get to go backstage and play a Rock Band with Disturbed.
That would be cool.
So that would be kind of fun.
Yeah.
5:43, we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph's show.
The Hellboy expert himself, Ralph Garman, has joined us in studio for a look at the Showbiz Beat for Thursday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
I want Wing to record that song.
Me too.
Oh, that'd be hot.
Why don't you have fun doing a hot sex with me?
I want Wing to record every song.
Great. Remember when I was talking a couple weeks ago and told you that Sherlock Holmes, they're making a new Sherlock Holmes movie?
Yeah.
And I told you Sherlock Holmes was the most filmed fictional hero ever. Mm-hmm. I think it was between him and Robin Hood, but I think Sherlock Holmes has more TV versions and film versions.
Right.
Well, now it turns out they're making two Sherlock Holmes movies. Two different production companies are each cranking out a Sherlock Holmes
movie.
How
does that happen exactly?
You got me. You'd think somebody would back off and say, well, that's not us. In this particular case, though, one's going to be a drama and one's going to be a comedy. So that makes a little bit more sense.
Right.
But you do see these sort of these competing theme films all the time.
Yeah.
It happened with the Truman Capote life story. Remember that happened? They came
out
almost back to back and there was
several
examples of it. But the good news is, for us, that the casts have been announced for these films. And for those of you who don't know Sherlock Holmes, he was a Victorian fictional character written by a guy named Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, and he was a detective. He's like the world's greatest detective. He would just look at a room and say, I could tell that the guy was balding because here's a loose hair in his hat and still got a root on it. But that kind of stuff. And Robert Downey Jr. is going to play Sherlock Holmes in the dramatic action version.
Great choice.
That directed would be great. By Guy Ritchie.
Love that.
Wow. And apparently it's going to be sort of an updated, youthful. I mean, it used to be Sherlock Holmes was all mental, but this guy will have a little action side to him, too.
Well, he's got the Iron Man muscles. He has to use them.
He's going to wear a big iron suit with a deerstalker cap on and a big pipe.
Kevin was saying before you walked in that he didn't know what Iron Man was made of. He was confused by that.
Hey, wait a minute.
How dare you?
As I said, Robert Downey Jr. will star in Sherlock Holmes, directed by Guy Ritchie for Warner Brothers. And the competing film
Uh-huh. Which I'm looking forward to with equal
anticipation. Yes.
Is a comedy version of Sherlock Holmes with Sacha Baron Cohen playing Sherlock Holmes.
Really?
Wow.
And Will Ferrell playing Dr. Watson, his crime-fighting partner.
Wow, I'm so in.
Those two guys back together again since Talladega Nights, I think, would be hilarious.
That'd be great.
So a lot of Sherlock Holmes to look forward to in the next couple of years. Congratulations to Ethan Hawke. He is married to his pregnant girlfriend, Ryan Shaw Hughes. For those who don't know the story, Ethan met Ryan when she was the nanny taking care of his two children with Uma Thurman.
Yeah, that never happens.
Seems to be an ongoing theme in celebrity relationships. Mm-hmm. Not coincidentally, I believe, this news comes about a week after Uma Thurman has announced her engagement to Swiss multimillionaire Arpad Bousson. So I guess they're both moving on with their lives.
Well,
it's got to sting, especially if you're a wife, I think, if your husband leaves you for the nanny. Don't you?
Yeah, I would think so.
That's the worst possible betrayal of a woman that you have trusted the care of your children to.
Yeah.
Then turns around and takes your man. That's got to sting.
But you have to feel a little bit better knowing the kids will be well taken care of.
It's true. She's already got some experience there. More news playing out in the nasty divorce battle between Alex Rodriguez and Cynthia Rodriguez. This time, Lenny Kravitz is involved. Apparently, Alex's side is going to reveal that Cynthia has been having an affair with Lenny Kravitz.
Okay.
While Alex is having an affair with Madonna. Don't these people ever just screw around somebody with no name?
Yeah.
Lenny Kravitz was reportedly sickened by the news that he was going to be accused of having an affair with Cynthia. And according to insiders in the New York Post, Lenny says it's not true. And he believes that the whole thing is masterminded by the his former manager, Guy Osiri, who also manages A-Rod and Madonna, because Lenny dumped him about 2 weeks ago. So he thinks this is some sort of revenge plot.
Had a baby 11 weeks ago.
Yes.
You're just not out banging around at that time in your life.
Well, she was seen last week in Paris with Lenny,
but
Lisa.
Aren't they just friends, supposedly?
Well, that's what they're claiming. But if you have a baby 11 weeks ago, why are you flying to Paris?
I don't know, but aren't you still breastfeeding?
I don't know.
It just seems like not the time.
Meanwhile, a former Boston stripper has come out of the woodwork and tells the Boston Herald that she slept with A-Rod twice in 2004.
Booyah!
Apparently she met him at a Red Sox-Yankees game at Fenway Park. He introduced himself, she said, asked me who I was, and if I wanted to meet up with him for drinks later, I was like, hell yeah! Says Candace Houlihan.
bet she's not ugly.
I bet she's not either. But here's the thing. I think strippers, much like doctors and priests, should just shut the F up.
Yeah,
yeah.
I agree. Confidentiality agreement.
Why don't you
tell
them something or something happens? I'm a little more ass shaking, a little less talking, Candace Houlihan. Shut up.
Imagine the life of a guy like A-Rod, though, who can go to any place in this country and pretty much look for the hottest chick in the room and just point at her, and she says yes.
Here's why he's a stud. He's a Yankee, and he went to Boston and got
still banged a chick.
It's unbelievable.
He is a stud. You're right.
He's not really hitting the high-quality stuff. I mean, his wife and this stripper, if you're A-Rod, you should be able to do a lot better.
His wife at one time was pretty sporty.
Yeah, but analyze teammate like Derek Jeter. I mean, that's where you got to be. You got to be like in that club.
Jeter,
yeah, that's
I mean.
A good point.
He's giving herpes to Alba. He's got it all.
Yeah, he's going through Alba to Beal to that. I'm saying, if you're A-Rod, you should be going better.
That's
than
a double play, isn't it, Alba to Beal?
Yeah.
Pamela Anderson, speaking of former hotties, is, I don't know what's happening with her career.
Pam Anderson?
Yeah. I think Pam will take a job pretty much doing anything these days.
Yeah.
She is joining the current cast of Australia's Big Brother.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
She's going to do a two-hour special episode where she will be, according to the producers, the uber special VIP guest.
Really?
Did she ask for that
uber
billing?
Special
that's billing
VIP.
Herself? Yeah, uber special VIP guest. I would
watch Big Brother if she were if people like her were on it. I think that'd make
a lot
of sense.
Well, they do have a celebrity Big Brother in the UK that had it for years. I think they tried it once here in the States, maybe? I don't remember if it happened here or not. But the episode apparently would be called Pamela Anderson's Tricks of the Trade. So you can imagine what she'd be able to teach the residents of the house.
Well, aren't they filming her reality show now? Maybe this is a part of it.
Oh, maybe it's all tying
in. Oh, that could be.
give her something to do. Some of these reality shows, they're just desperate to, for things for their stars to do, so they send them off to do things. So this may be one of those. But Pam said there's no way she would strip down just to increase the tune-in prospects for the show. So not going to be any nudity from Pam, which is what you really want.
What
to
else
get
do
Pam
we want
Anderson.
From her, really? Yeah.
Maybe she can do some monologues from VIP for us. Show off her acting.
Do you know if that show's available on Australian cell phones?
I don't think so. Just... They really reserve Australian cell phones just for the high-quality premiere entertainment.
For the good stuff.
Right. They don't let anyone just get on Australian cell phones. Australian cell phones. More casting news. Courtney Cox has a new gig. Because her name is Coxbean? Really?
Exactly.
So yes.
She is signed to do a 3-episode arc of Scrubs next season. She'll reportedly play the new chief of medicine at Sacred Heart Hospital. So there's another show I can't watch. Thanks. Thanks. Thanks, Courtney Cox.
So Scrubs is coming back then?
Yes, for one last abbreviated season, I believe.
And is it moving? Is it going over to ABC? Is that official? Because that's been rumored for so long.
I do not know.
Okay.
Does not say in the story.
I heard that, too. I think it is true. But
it's going to ABC?
That's what I heard, yeah.
Trust me. Because we've said this, we will find out in mere moments.
Email Ralph at KRock.com.
Don't email me. Email Bean. He's the one with all the freaking questions all the time.
I'm just asking because I like Scrubs.
What size lens do they use when they shoot Scrubs? Is that in your story? Email Bean. Give him the information.
You know, the problem is that
the problem is you ask too many goddamn questions.
No, it's that I look to you as a fountain of information when it comes to all things showbiz. And I,
well,
that's
a
why
water,
I ask so many questions, because you're the guy who knows everything.
There's a water shortage, so the fountain's not running today.
Okay.
Here's what I'd like to suggest. If you're asking questions that Ralph, the encyclopedia, doesn't know, maybe it's a little too obscure. Keep that question to yourself.
No, that ABC Google question's it. Valid, but... Just because I'm reading a story about Scrubs doesn't mean I have all the facts at my fingertips.
I understand. I apologize.
That's all I'm saying.
I withdraw the question.
He's used to working with me, Ralph.
I know.
And
the guy,
so...
you see, that's the problem. You've spoiled him.
Right.
With your encyclopedic knowledge of everything.
Too much information is what I have.
They call you Mr. Wikipedia, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Alex sent me a story from MSNBC that says, yes, in fact, the show is moving to ABC from NBC for its final season.
There we go. Now
it has been confirmed.
We can all exhale.
So they picked it up, but only for the final season?
Scrubs.
Don't ask any more questions.
They're only doing one more year.
It's odd.
And NBC said, I guess, we've had an ass full of you, Scrubs.
Huh.
See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. That's actually what they said.
They said that?
They actually, in a memo. I read a memo. Wow. Yes. And lastly, Chris Martin is defending the celebrity trend of giving children unique names. In Blender Magazine, interview with Chris, he said, keep in mind, he's the father of Apple and Moses.
Sure.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That unique names are fine. He said calling a baby Chewbacca is no stranger than calling her Sarah. Because a name is just a noise. Well, that's easy for you to say, Chris.
Yeah.
Guess no one beat the crap out of you in the playground because your name was Chris. Good God.
There really... I'm not the only one here. There really is a difference between Chewbacca and any other name, right?
Huge number. Okay. Huge difference, rather. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Today's celebrity birthdays. Want to hear me make Psycho Mike scream?
No, but go ahead.
I can do it so easily.
All right.
Ronnie James Dio is 66 years old today. Told you. Guitarist Peter DiStefano from Porno for Pyros is also 43 years old today. Sofia Vergara.
Ooh.
Celebrates her 36th
That's
birthday.
Gotta stop. That must stop.
Jessica Simpson turns 28 years old today.
Oh, wow.
And Adrien Grenier from Entourage is 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is going to be a great event Saturday night at the UCLA Pauley Pavilion. It is a tribute to The Who. VH1 has done a couple of these in the past where they take a major band like that. I think they did it with Metallica and a couple of others. And then they have contemporary bands that are fans of theirs to go in and play. So Foo Fighters will be there playing Who songs, and Flaming Lips are going to be there. Incubus is going to be there. I mean, Pearl Jam. I mean, what an unbelievable lineup. You'll see it all on VH1 next Thursday night, but you can be there in person if you call right now at 1-800-520-1067. Psycho Mike, you have to go to this thing. This is so right up your alley.
It really is. I'm so geeked about it.
All right, so we'll line up some people. Then we're going to talk about the iPhone coming up a little bit later. Stupid rhymes and songs we have to get to.
Oh, yeah.
I think our artists might be as bad or worse than any. Really?
Well, I think we know why, too, by the way.
Anthony Kiedis?
Oh. No, just bong rips every time you sit down and write a song. Yeah, of course that's going to screw you up.
And Joe Maloof and Rob Dyrdek are going to be here talking about the Maloof Money Cup, which is one of the biggest skateboarding weekends ever, because of the purse. Yeah, the prize money is so high. So we'll give away some tickets right now. VH1's Rock Honors, 1-800-520-1067. You got to get through and you have to win the game. Lips Incorporated.
Gotta give an answer to a question that's right to win. If you do, you'll see the Foos Pearl Jam and the Flaming Lips. Well, they'll be playing.
Come on.
Well, the Flaming Lips are on the bill, and that's why the game is called Lips Incorporated. All of the answers, all of the questions, all have to do with lips. Doesn't necessarily mean that the word lip or lips are in the word, the answer that we're looking for, but they all will have to do with lips, and I think it'll become clear as we proceed with the game how it is played.
Lisa, drawing?
Yes.
All right, let's start with Shane in Redlands. Good morning, Shane.
Hey, good morning.
That was a pretty catchy intro song there, wasn't it, Shane? You're going to have that going through your head all day long today, my friend.
Oh, God, I hope not.
All right, here's question number one. Again, the topic is lips this morning. Created at the end of the 19th century, this company now sells 10% of the world's tea. Who are they? It's going to sound real familiar to you when you hear the answer.
It's a company that sells tea.
Lipton.
Yes. How does he do it?
Didn't see that coming. Really surprised that he came up with that. Congratulations, Shane. You're in the drawing.
All right. Let's go to Tiffany and Whittier. Good morning, Tiffany.
Good morning.
All right. Lips Incorporated is the game. Here's question number two. Tiff, this famous rock band's logo, a giant set of lips and a tongue, first appeared on their Sticky Fingers album.
Rolling Stones.
Yes.
You bet.
Done. All right. Hold on. Let's go to David in La Habra. Good morning, David.
Morning.
Not to put the pressure on you, my friend, but we're 2-for-2 so far, so you really look like a loser if you don't get the right answer, okay? Here's question number three. When actress Marley Matlin uses this form of communication, she's actually studying the whole face, not just one part.
That is lip reading.
Lip reading is correct.
That's right.
Nicely done. All right, 3-for-3. Let's go to Neil in Chino Hills. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
All right, Neil, listen up. This is a tough one, but good luck. The poster for this famous cult classic horror musical comedy featured a giant pair of lips.
Who?
I'm sorry?
Who?
I'm not sure I get your answer, but the cult classic horror musical comedy is a lot of hints for something called the Rocky Horror Picture Show. That's what we're looking for this time, but thanks for playing the game.
Did you say who or foo?
I think you said foo.
Sounds like foo.
What did you say?
I said foo.
Foo, okay. Just questioning. Thank you.
Best guest ever.
Let's go.
Grange?
No, King Grange is the best answer ever. Renee in Oxnard. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
All right, Renee, listen up. You're playing again for the UCLA Paula Pavilion for the Rock Tribute to the Who on VH1. This Saturday, you can be there in person. If your name is John, let's get you in the drawing. First, the Latin word for lips comes in two of my favorite sizes, majora and minora. The Latin word for lips, what is it?
Labia.
Yes, that is correct. That? Labia or labia, you are absolutely right. Well done. Mm-hmm.
You hold on. Let's move along to Matt in Fullerton. Good morning, Matt.
Morning.
All right, listen up. The one of the biggest hits in America right now, and a big song right here on K-Rock, is called I Kissed a Girl. You've probably heard it. The beautiful Katy Perry enjoys the cherry flavor in this popular lip balm in the lyrics. The cherry flavor of this popular lip balm. It is called what?
Revlon?
Yeah! Oh, no.
I'm sorry. Chapstick is what we were looking for. Chapstick. Thank you for calling.
All right, let's go. Let's go. Will?
Yeah, this is Will. How you doing, bro?
You're there. Okay, we're good.
Will, I got good news for you, man. It's an audio bonus question. Listen up. Again, the topic is lips. Name the artist and the title of this former K-Rock hit. Artist and title, please. Get in the drawing.
Third Eye Blind.
No. Sounds exactly like him, though. That's a great guess. It's actually the band Sum 41 and their song called Fat Lip. Nice try, though, dude. Thanks.
Sorry, dude. Man.
Thank you.
All right. Let's do one more.
Let's go to Haroon in Chino.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, Haroon, listen up. You're the final contestant to get in the drawing. A good-looking feminine lesbian is also known as one of these.
Lesbo?
Well, yes. But we were looking for, since the topic is lips, we were looking for lipstick lesbian is what we're looking for.
I guess lesbo is technically correct, but
it is.
Not what we were looking for, but thank you for the call.
All right, who's in the drawing here?
Lisa, we have Shane, Tiffany, David, and Renee, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And the winner is David from La Habra.
David from La Habra. Congratulations. You are going to the Rock Honors, which are taping this Saturday night. Way to go, dude.
Hey, I am thrilled.
You sound like it. Foo Fighters, Pearl Jam, Incubus, Flaming Lips, and of course The Who will all be there, and it airs next Thursday on VH1. Thanks for playing. Hey, if I don't see you guys again, have a good weekend. By the way, I want to make sure to mention that because
it's only Thursday. Well,
you know, I know, but I, you know, tomorrow I got to be in line at the Apple store. I got to be. I'm not gonna.
Man, Bean's been talking about this new iPhone for 3 months.
Well, since the last one came out, I've been looking forward to doing.
You got because the last one, didn't you?
I did. I love the last one, but the thing about all electronics, not just Apple, but all of them, is you get it and then you go, wow, I can't wait to see what they come up with next. You know, now that they've gotten this far, what are they going to do? Because you know how fast technology changes. And tomorrow is the day that the long-awaited new Apple iPhone 2 is finally out. And when it was announced that it was coming and on sale, we talked to our friend Rich Jamuro over there at Channel 9. He's the tech dude over there, and he had a lot of things to say about it at that time, but even more has been revealed, and I bet Rich has already played with one, and we've got him back on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show on the World Famous Carrier. Good morning, Rich. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I tried last night. They wouldn't let me into the Apple store early.
Sons of bitches.
That's why you bring a big rock, dude. Come on. It's not that hard.
Yeah, the glass does look pretty thin there at the Grove.
So is it worth the hype? Is it worth people who have been lined up in Manhattan outside the flagship Apple store there for 5 days to be first in line for tomorrow, Rich?
You know what? I think so. This phone has really revolutionized the wireless industry, and I think that everyone's excited for the new version. It's going to be better than the first, and it's going to be fun. I mean, this phone, it's a fun phone. It's a sexy phone, and with the addition of the App Store, I think that's the big thing. Now you can download all these applications to the new iPhone and also the old iPhones as well. So that'll be kind of nice for everyone just to try out these new things that are going to happen on it.
Now this is, I guess, during the first one, they didn't have a lot of programs or applications available, right? But then they opened it up to other companies to do?
Yeah, that's the big thing here is that the first iPhone you could really only surf the web on. You couldn't say download a news application or a phone application. You know, now they're going to have things where you can even make a phone call over the Wi-Fi connection. The opening up of this is almost like making the phone whatever you want it to be as much as companies can develop these things for it.
Okay. Now, let's talk about what's good about the iPhone, and then I know that there are some criticisms, and there's some things that I'm surprised to not see in the new edition, too. But let's talk about what's new and what's good. First of all, much faster web surfing this time around. How did they do it?
Yeah, the big thing on this phone is the 3G, which means if you're in a 3G coverage spot, you're going to download web pages faster. You're going to be able to download audio and video faster. So it's just a faster experience. They were on the older Edge network before on the old phone. But this 3G network is definitely faster. It's almost sort of like Wi-Fi, but not as fast. So you can definitely see when you're loading web pages that they're just going to pop on your screen a lot faster.
And how much is that? I mean, how much of the city has that coverage?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I'm getting emails from Sprint saying, we cover three times more of the city with our 3G coverage. So it's interesting that, AT&T's 3G coverage is there, but it's not everywhere. So if you're traveling between here and Las Vegas, let's say, you're not going to have 3G the whole way. 3G
right.
is mainly just in major metropolitan areas and really just in the major spots of those areas, not everywhere. So it's not everywhere.
All right.
Okay. They have added GPS to the new iPhone. How is that?
GPS is really neat. The interesting thing I read yesterday is that it's not good enough to give you turn-by-turn directions, which, I don't know if I certainly believe that because I've got GPS on my regular Verizon phone that you can do turn-by-turn, and it's amazing.
Right.
So I'm definitely seeing the iPhone as sort of you're going to put this in your car and use it as your next GPS. TomTom says they're developing an application that you can use. But the neat thing about the GPS over anything else is really the local search. So when you're sitting, let's say, somewhere where you're not really sure where you are or in a foreign area, whatever.
Right.
You type in, hey, I want a pizza place, and it'll tell you exactly where the closest pizza place is.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Your GPS. Yeah.
That's helpful.
Yeah. That
by the way, if it's
helpful.
Not turn by turn, how good is it? I mean, really, it's what do they just point, like, go that way?
Yeah, they're like, you might be on the 405 going north, you might be going south.
Why not? Right. I'm not sure I get that.
It'll get you into the right state, Kevin. That's close enough. Then you find it from there. Is it true, Rich, that I will be able to, tomorrow afternoon, listen to K-Rock on my iPhone?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Because I understand there is actually wireless radio now that you can listen to, and that's one of the reasons why they changed the back of the phone from metal to plastic, is so that radio signals can get in there.
I have not heard that, but I would not be surprised. With the App Store, you're really talking of unlimited possibilities, so if someone wants to develop an application to do that, they can.
And if that's the case, it would be much better coverage than our regular signal.
True.
That is true. Well, I mean, for instance, K-Rock is one of the many stations that's on the AOL radio that you could listen to, you know, if you wanted to on any other computer. It sure seems like you ought to be able to listen to it on your iPhone as well.
Yeah, I don't. At this point, I don't really see anything that the iPhone can't do potentially because, like I said, it's just software. I mean, the phone really, there's a couple of hardware limitations, but really the phone is all software. And so anything that someone can think to add on that phone, you really are not limited because unless you're trying to change the phone, you're not going to add a physical button on the phone.
Right.
Because that's not possible. But anything that you can add on that screen, anything that uses touch, anything that uses software is literally just available to add on there.
This is Rich DeMuro we're talking to, by the way, from KCAL News, Channel 9. He's on at 8 and 10 and is talking about the new iPhone available in Apple stores tomorrow. Let's talk about some of the downers about the new phone. First of all, shocking to me that they're not making video available. You can't shoot video like you can take pictures.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure why Apple is dropping the ball on this, especially seeing that YouTube is so popular. Video on the web is so popular.
Yeah.
I really don't know why they're not adding this video feature. It's a really sore point for many, many people in the tech community, especially that say, hey, get with it, Apple. Now, I do know one company that sort of cracked the code on there, which they have gotten video available through the camera. But, you know, so it's definitely possible. We're just not sure why Apple isn't making that native.
Is it a size thing? Would it take up too much room and they're just trying to keep it, you know, small and thin?
Maybe, but you know, most video camera or most regular cell phones have the video available.
Yeah,
right.
So, yeah, that's true.
Right. You know, and I have a lot of sex that I need to video too.
Oh,
Rich. I mean, that's one thing about me. Is
man,
I gotta have my phone handy for that. And by the way, while we're talking about the camera, I love the quality of the pictures because I use my iPhone a lot to take photos and put them on my blog and whatnot, and it looks great. But that's even pretty primitive, that camera. I mean, you can't do zooms on it. It doesn't have a flash. I mean, it does seem like those are the types of things that we've come to expect on even the smallest cameras and camera phones now.
Yeah, I definitely agree. But the one neat thing that they have added to the camera as well is called geotagging. So let's say you go on a cross-country trip and you snap pictures along the way the entire time.
Right.
All your pictures are actually looked up on GPS. It'll put that information of, hey, I took this picture in Arizona and whatever city you are.
That's
so
cool.
When you get back to your computer, you upload it to whatever, it'll say exactly where you took those pictures, which I think to be just such an amazing feature.
That's pretty cool.
You know, you're on vacation and you know exactly where you took these things.
On my iPhone Generation 1, I have had trouble sending photos to other people's phones and receiving photos from their phones unless I wanted to do it through the email feature on the phone. Is the same problem exist for the new generation, Rich?
That'll be interesting because that you're talking what's generally referred to as MMS, multimedia messaging. So
that's
I
right.
think the iPhone might have handled it differently before. Hopefully they've worked out that kink because, yeah, that's a very common way to send pictures between phones. Is using the multimedia messaging service, which is kind of what cell phone carriers have developed before there was actual email on cell phones. So with the iPhone, it was really just easier to pop a picture and email and send it to someone, whereas on most normal phones, you still have to do it through the MMS. So
right.
Hopefully they figure that out.
We're almost out of time. Let me ask you two more quick questions before we go, Rich. Number one is the price is lower on the phone, but I think you told us when we had you on about the time of the announcement that it ends up working out to be about the same because the AT&T price per month is a little bit more. Is that right?
Yeah, the minimum you're going to pay for this phone is about $217 because it's $199 for the phone if you already have one or if you're up for an upgrade. And then they're charging an $18 upgrade fee, which, you know, I don't like, but that's what they're doing.
How much are they if you don't have one?
If you don't have one, it's $199 plus $36 as an activation fee.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then the plan, okay. The only other thing with the plan, you know, I said the plan, the data plan is $10 more a month. Well, now text messaging is also, if you want the same text messaging, you have to pay an extra $5 a month from the old plan. So the plan theoretically has gotten $15 a month more expensive if you want text messaging. Some people may not want that if they're saying, hey, you know what, I'm going to use my email and Twitter and whatever. But, you know, you got to think of all these fees when you're doing it. But still, at the end of the day, you're going to have a great phone. It's going to be fun. You're going to love it.
All right. Last question. Any availability troubles do you anticipate for tomorrow? Or is it going to be the type of thing that's going to be fairly easy to buy in the next few weeks?
You know what? Even though there were really long lines the first day of the iPhone, most people could have walked in a store throughout the day and got one.
Right.
Towards the end, you know, the week, it got a little crazy. I don't know. That's a really tough one to tell because I think there's a lot of people out there that didn't get the first one that waited for this one. So I don't know. But on the flip side, the lines that we're seeing are really not as long as the first day lines for the other one. So I think your chances are pretty good of getting one. They're really good at an AT&T store, especially if you drive outside the greater L.A. area.
Oh, that's a good idea. Go to a less populated area.
Exactly. I mean, everyone's going to be at the Grove. Everyone's going to be at, you know, Pasadena, those kind of places. But, you know, you drive out to Temecula or something, and you might be okay.
Or the Inland Empire, they don't even have phones yet. So they don't
have internet out there. Right. I know, you're right.
Yeah, I don't know if the wireless coverage has made it out there. But.
Well, I'm looking forward to taking the day off to go get mine tomorrow. Rich DeMuro from KCAL Channel 9 at 8 and 10. Look for him on the news. Great to catch up with you. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Let me tell you, Kevin, the difference between you and me and Lisa and Mike and a guy like Guillermo del Toro who joins us in the studios of World Famous Garrick. Let me tell you just one difference just to get us started.
Can I guess?
Sure.
Talent?
Talent is part of it.
All right.
Also, Guillermo was ranked number 37 on Entertainment Weekly's 50 smartest people in Hollywood. Wow. We couldn't be further off that list. We couldn't be more at number 1 million on that list.
But I'm in the bottom 50, so that's kind of the same.
Hellboy 2, The Golden Army is finally here after a wait of 4 years for the sequel. It opens everywhere tomorrow. Guillermo del Toro joins us in the studio of the World Famous K-Rock right now. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, as Kevin told you when you walked in, we've been looking forward to this one for a long time. Does it seem like 4 years already since the first Hellboy, or is it just flown by for you?
No. It was 4 years. It took me 2 years to finish the screenplay, and by that time, the studio that originally commissioned it was bankrupt.
Really?
or something of the sort. They were not operational.
Did they call and say, it's been a year and a half, you better hurry because we're going under?
we got calls of the sort.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we went around with the screenplay, and I wanted very much to do it the way I wrote it, which is the movie is much more wild and spectacular than the first.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people have a little bit of a problem believing we would stay on budget with that scope. And also the humor was a little more offbeat. It has a lot more sense of humor than the first one.
Uh-huh.
And, you know.
How could it be more wild, though? I mean, there was monsters from space and
No.
Eating people in the portal.
That is like a docudrama.
Next to this one.
Let me give you an idea.
Okay.
On the first movie, we had, we designed and executed 5 monsters for the film, and this one has 32 designs.
Wow.
And most of them practical, which is a big feat. We created amazing puppets, animatronics, and then in some instances the monsters attack in dozens, in one instance in hundreds. Ooh. At
wow.
once with Hellboy. So it was, and nevertheless we kept the budget. You know, we did well in that department, mm-hmm. and the movie is spectacular.
Now your background is in movie makeup and stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Special effects.
So is that one of the most fun things for you, is to kind of come up with monsters?
It's one of the things that I think comes very useful in staying in budget.
Yeah.
Also, it's one of those things where, you know, whenever I go to a special effects house, the first meeting I have, they are all really happy to see me. Oh, we're very happy that you know all the background. 2 months later, they hate me. They hate me because, you know.
Because you know what they can do and what they should be doing.
And where they're skimping.
Right. Yeah.
You know when they're sweeping under the rug, right. and you look there first.
So tell people who didn't see the first Hellboy the kind of the story behind it.
Well, the story is a very rational proposition.
I'm so tired of these. I got to tell you.
Which is yet another movie about a demon from another dimension brought by a Nazi occult ritual in 1944 in Scotland. Yet another one of those.
Seems like there's one every week.
Like little children and things like that. You know, and the movie takes the position, the first movie, that is nurture versus nature. That this creature has been nurtured by a kind professor, Professor Broom,
right,
into growing into essentially an X-file that investigates other X-files.
Right.
So it's a monster that fights monsters. And and the second movie, his paramour, his love interest, it's a girl that it's a pyrokinetic. She's always on fire.
Selma Hayek.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can see
Selma
that.
Blair. Selma Blair. I apologize. both, actually.
Yes. No, but and it's a perfect match. A guy that is fireproof, a girl that is a fire starter, and I think it's a very autobiographical movie.
Based on my life.
What happened to his other hand? Why is it not big?
Essentially,
he's got one giant hand and the other one's kind of a weenie hand.
He gets a lot of emails about enlarging it.
But, is that right?
Yeah, enlarge your left hand.
But I don't want to make any suggestions or speak on behalf of the character, but my right arm is a lot bigger than my left arm.
Yeah,
my
meaning. But for different reasons.
Now,
he was sent here. I mean, he's called the Right Hand of Doom.
Right.
And it's essential to his character. If you saw the first movie, you would know it's like a kid. Yeah.
But I found it like somewhere along the way in development, it had to go, nope, just one of them. Two big hands, just one.
Yeah, it's budget cuts.
Okay. Guillermo, how old is the Hellboy comic strip on which the movies are based?
Not very old. It was born in the mid-1990s.
Oh, that is pretty recent.
That recent.
Very
huh?
recent. Comic. When we came on board into doing the first movie, it still is not a widely circulated comic like the Marvel titles.
Mm-hmm.
But, since the first movie, its circulation grew tenfold.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, this is what I was thinking about that. I mean, there's a little bit of a risk when you make a movie based on a character that is only known to comic book aficionados. You didn't have the broad base of people who already knew the Batmans and the Spider-Mans of the world. And now more people know Hellboy probably from your movies than ever knew it from the comics, I guess.
Absolutely. The movies, the beautiful toy lines, the animated series, and so on and so forth. But the reality is the character is so fantastic.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, it's a monster with a fantastic heart.
Your character, Hellboy, is, of course, played by the great Ron Perlman, who, I know, a lot of times in Hollywood, there are a lot of actors who are up for a role. I can't imagine there's a soul who could play Hellboy as well as Ron Perlman. He seems perfect for this movie. Was he always going to be Hellboy?
Yeah, he was. And we went through through 7 years. We wrote the first movie in 1997 before Spider-Man and X-Men and any of the comic book movies. And it took us that long because I would not budge on having a movie like this start with by Ron Perlman.
Really? So that took a long time for you to make that happen, and you just said, not till it does.
Usually we would pitch the movie, they would like the screenplay, we would pitch the budget, they would like the budget, and then we would say, Ron Perlman, we got either two reactions. Either they said the owner of Reblon,
or right.
The second reaction was to stamp and validate our parking immediately. But 7 years later, we got it.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting? Wow, no kidding. Well, you knew what you wanted.
You do not move quickly when it comes to movies, do you?
I do not move quickly at all. I'm size 42 in my waist, my pant size.
Tell us why our friend Seth MacFarlane from The Family Guy is listed in the credits of your film.
Well, I am a big fan of his.
So are we.
I think that he's a real talent. He's an amazing voice actor. I think he's an amazing actor, period. But, I designed this character that comes from the comics to be sort of a mechanical containment suit. In the comics, it's a much more beautiful, simpler shape. And I knew we needed somebody to animate the boy's performance.
Right.
And top on my list was Seth. We didn't think we would get him. You know, he's a massive industry.
Yes, he's got
a one-man industry.
Well, we love him, and he's been really good to us, but it is sometimes difficult to even get a hold of him because he's doing so much work.
Absolutely.
I mean, it just seems like he doesn't have a second.
No, it was the same feeling we had. So, you know, when we finally approach him blissfully, he immediately accepted. He read the screenplay. He loved the first movie. And he came on board. He had 3 days of voiceover. And I spent the 3 days geeking out like a fan, like
asking
a fan
about his stuff.
Oh, he's like asking him detailed background for the farting contest between Peter and Michael Moore. And other scenes like that.
Rod Perlman stars as Hellboy, of course. Selma Blair, the love interest. The great Jeffrey Tambor is in the movie. John Hurt, of course, the voice of Seth MacFarlane. It looks great, and I can tell how enthusiastic, how excited you are to finally unleash this upon the world after working on it for so long.
Yes, and you know, when the movie is shot from the point of view of a 12-year-old wide-eyed kid that is watching his first Ray Harryhausen movie.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to be, if I could ask for anything, forget about critical reception, box office, any of that. If I could ask for something, is that there is a small generation of 12-year-olds that years from now say, I remember when I saw that crazy monster movie. It has that energy. It has that beautiful energy and a huge heart.
How do you keep the all of the business out of it? It seems like business dominates everything these days, and
I am unfortunately a very bad businessman, which accounts for the fact that I drive a 2000 Chrysler car.
Excellent. That's good.
And I dress in expensive clothes.
You dress like we do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Dolce Gabbana for me. You know, the fact is, I was raised in a country, in Mexico. I was raised with the philosophy that every time you made a movie, you almost asked, how much do I have to pay to make it?
Mm. And I see.
To this day, I've made 7 movies, and of the 7 movies, only in one case, Devil's Backbone, had I not deferred half or most of my salary or all my salary to make the movie. Even on Hellboy 2, on the beginning of the process, we had to at some point put 50% of our salary as a guarantee that we would not go over budget. And we did it.
Wow.
We didn't, you know, after the Oscars, after Pence and Irving, one would think, well, now I'm going to say, how dare you?
Right, of course.
But I just said, where do I deposit the check?
Wow.
Because I think it's a privilege to make movies you like.
Well, that's a wonderful attitude, and we're such big fans. And if you're not familiar with Mr.
My agent hates me.
Yeah. I can imagine.
If you're not familiar with some of the movies that Guillermo has mentioned, you owe yourself the luxury of seeing The Pan's Labyrinth and seeing The Devil's Backbone and Amoros Perros, I know you were editing on, and Mimic, and so many other great movies in your resume. You have been a tremendous director, and we can't let you walk out the door without asking, when do you leave for New Zealand? When do you get jumped into the world of The Hobbit for the next 4 years?
Well, I'm going to start going, you know, commuting between countries for me is like Burbank, L.A., you know, I went from London to L.A. for the last 7 months, every week almost.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I'm used to the 10, 12-hour trips. So I start commuting to New Zealand in 2-3 weeks.
Uh-huh. Commuting and New Zealand are not words you want to put together.
I no, trust me, you want to if you're going to do it for a year.
I guess, but that's a lot of flying.
I'll go there every 2 weeks or every 3 weeks. And then starting next year, I'll move there for 3.5 years.
Oh, my.
Wow.
How exciting for you as a filmmaker, though, to be able to take on the Hobbit material. I mean, you must be geeked about that.
Listen, I wake up screaming with pleasure.
To answer his question, though.
Exactly how you feel about it. I can't wait to start. And I've been blessed with the fact that I like eating lamb. So New Zealand is in danger.
Okay,
the ecology of New Zealand is in danger.
Yeah.
I will become like the sugarcane frog of New Zealand. I will decimate.
That's the first sugarcane frog reference ever on our program. Yeah. I have to be honest, that's strong.
I've been waiting all my life to use it.
A natural disaster is about to hit New Zealand when Guillermo goes down there and starts taking on the sheep.
Guillermo, could you go to Mexico and just have anyone killed that you point at? Could you have that kind of power?
I've been trying.
Yeah? No, it doesn't work?
It doesn't work.
Oh, wow.
I tried to do it with my eyes.
The film is called Hellboy 2, The Golden Army, long anticipated, opens everywhere tomorrow. What a treat to have Guillermo del Toro in the studio with us here this morning. We know you have a very busy day and you got to go, but thank you so much for stopping by, sir. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
We also have some signed skateboards that we should give away. We have two of them, signed by you and Ron, right?
Yeah.
And if you'd like those decks, you could call now at 1-800-520-1067. Take caller 20 and 21.
With no responsibility from any physical injuries whatsoever.
No, if they get hurt, they can sue you, I think.
Oh, my God.
I'm pretty sure that's written in.
Are you sure that's my signature?
Maybe not, yeah.
Thank you, Lisa. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, did you meet Mr. Del Toro on his way out a moment ago?
I did. What a cool dude.
He's amazing.
He's the coolest. And he was telling us, and I'm so excited to be able to break this news to you, that he just bought a new house because he has too much stuff. It won't fit in his house. He just bought a new house. And he has a secret bookshelf that you press a button inside William Shakespeare's bust to open.
just like that? On the Batman TV series.
How about that?
Got a whole other house for his collections.
Just for his collectibles.
That's awesome.
That's what I'm doing.
I want to be a geek. He's a geek just like you, Ralph.
I want to be him.
Too late.
Is that possible?
He's already him.
Oh, sorry
about that.
All right.
Speaking of geeks, all you Iron Man fans will be happy to hear that Robert Downey Jr.'s got a new gig. He is going to be playing Sherlock Holmes in the drama, based not only on the famous books, of course, of the British detective, but also on the Sherlock Holmes comic book. So it'll be a little more action-packed. Robert Downey Jr. as Sherlock Holmes will be competing with another Sherlock Holmes film that's already in the works. This one will be a comic take on the character, starring Sacha Baron Cohen as Sherlock Holmes.
How about that? Oh, awesome. That's going to be great.
And as his bumbling sidekick, Dr. Watson, Will Ferrell.
That is going to be great.
That's a lineup. So a lot of Sherlock Holmes to look forward to.
Is part of the draw for Sherlock Holmes that it's so old, it's in the public domain, they don't have to pay character rights, maybe?
No, I know the family of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who wrote the original books, they still own the rights to the character.
Hmm. Really? I thought that that had a copyright that expires at a certain point, though. Then you can use it for free.
But you can renew it. I mean, it only expires if no one steps up to renew
the copyright. How
about that? Oh, I see. So, yeah. And then, of course, Downey will take on Iron Man 2. He and Jon Favreau getting back together again for the sequel to that film. So, a lot of good stuff. I'm going to see Hellboy 2 tonight.
Yes. Fantastic.
So, I'll tell you all about it tomorrow. How about that?
Fantastic.
Levi Alves McConaughey isn't even 3 days old, but he's already earned more money than you will in your lifetime.
What are you talking about?
According to TMZ.com, his first baby pictures have been sold to OK Magazine. Guess how much they're paying for photos of little Levi? This is, of course, the son of Matthew McConaughey and Camilla Alves.
I don't understand
1.
This.
8.
I don't know.
1.8.
Really?
I go, at your 1.8.
That's too low?
1.8.
For baby
don't
pictures?
Don't insult me. Don't insult me with your 1.8.
But babies all look the same.
Not Levi. $3 million.
$3 million?
$3 million.
But he's Matthew McConaughey.
$3 million. The deal also includes a special Christmas pictorial layout that they'll be showing in the magazine.
Okay.
So the first baby pictures, then the special Christmas photo shoot of the baby. It's all part of the deal. And if Camilla and Matthew ever marry, OK gets the first rights to their wedding pictures. But the magazine will have to pony up some extra cash for those. But they get first right, the first
dish. Let me see if I got this straight. They just have to sit there in the house, and then somebody else comes over, takes pictures of their baby, and leaves?
Well,
and for that,
before
they, get
they leave,
three...
they give them a check for $3 million. That's what they do.
Does that include any pictures with Uncle Rooster?
I don't know if Rooster's included in the package or not. But Foghorn Leghorn, I think, stuff by.
I say, Matthew! I say, that's a good-looking boy!
We don't have time today, but at some point, we need to get, and they have to be women, we need to get them on the phone and find out what the attraction is to buy these magazines to see pictures of three-day-olds.
You want to hear something even creepier? Even worse?
Right. What?
Speaking of OK Magazine... And when they paid Jamie Lynn Spears for her cover shots with the baby in this week's OK Magazine? $1 million. $1 million for photos of Jamie Lynn holding little Maddie Bryan to her bosom as the baby sleeps.
Jackpot. Unless it's a naked bosom. And she, how old is she, by the way?
She's 17.
Never mind.
Not old enough to be saying that.
Exactly. So, pays to be an unwed teenage mother these days.
Guess so.
Get about $1 million. Here's the problem with kids, though. They grow up.
Yeah.
And disappoint you. How would
how
you feel, Kevin?
You got
little girls.
Yes, little girls.
How would you feel if your teenage daughter told you that she was hanging out with Pete Doherty of the Baby Shambles?
Oh, no.
Wow.
That's her new boyfriend.
Am I allowed to ask her for the hookup?
To get some of that stuff that he
whatever
has?
It is he's doing?
That's what happened to Sting last week.
Oh, man.
Sting's baby daughter, 17-year-old Coco, is apparently now hanging out with Pete Doherty.
That is all bad.
She's an aspiring singer like her dad, and apparently she met Pete, and he says he wants to help her with songs for her debut album. Which is music speak for drop them and bend over. word is Sting isn't happy.
Oh, really? What a surprise.
Can you imagine? What's wrong with him?
Yeah.
He's concerned.
Those gee whiz. That sounds like so much fun.
those of you who don't recognize the name, he is a he's a musical talent, but he's one of those guys that nobody has hope for that he will ever pull out of his drug use before he dies.
Yeah.
No. I mean, it's just...
He's a ticking time bomb.
Just looks like a hopeless case of drugs.
Yeah, he should just date Amy Winehouse, so the two of them could just
perfect
implode in a drug-induced black hole.
He was the he was in some of those Kate Moss drug videos and stuff, right?
They that's dated, where we they dated know him for a long time, and that's where they started partying together.
Yep.
Yeah. So he's moved on to Coco Sting or whatever.
Coco Sting?
Sumner.
I guess
last name, but... Name.
Right. Sounds like a wrestler. Coco Sumner? It does. And someone asked Scarlett Johansson about her favorite sexual fantasy.
Yes?
Imagine my disappointment.
Why?
When the New York Post reported that her favorite sexual fantasy is to get freaky in a car, preferably the back seat.
That's it?
Boring! Boring!
But, that's okay.
Back seat of a car?
Well, all right, but...
Scarlett Johansson, I want... Scarlett Johansson. I want, like, circus freaks. I want a trapeze. I want some sort of restraint gear, a tub of industrial-grade lubricant. I need a lot
of
things.
You
want
to make
things.
Your time worth it?
Yes, exactly.
I don't sound sexy.
Up the ante a little bit.
And you going to put up her ante?
Oh, stop it. And Jimi Hendrix. Remember we did the story that there was a sex tape available of him?
Yes.
And the Hendrix estate said it is not Jimi Hendrix. If you try to release it as such, we will sue you, blah, blah, blah. Well, Vivid Video held back the sex tape for 60 days and said, all right, we'll give you your chance. We will give you $100,000 if you can prove that the guy in the video is not Jimmy.
Wow.
Well, the 2 months have passed, and there's not been a peep from the Hendrix Experience folks, so they're going to go ahead. $13.99 will buy you the video of Jimmy getting it on with two pretty ladies.
Have you seen this, Mike? You've seen...
I've seen the clips that they
clips,
offered.
Yeah. Yeah, on the internet before they pulled the whole thing. But now you'll be able to buy it on the DVD, apparently, and check it out.
Yeah, it's time-coded. So, I mean, it seems like it's, you know, the late 60s. And the guy's got a big afro, and he's black. It's...
Balfro?
Oh, yeah, he's...
As well?
He's sporting all kinds of hair.
There's not a lot of pruning in the garden.
The 60s was not a big era for the bikini wax.
For the bluffing.
Let's just say that. They were all natural.
Especially amongst hippies.
Yeah, and groupies.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. Good times.
That's a lot of
hair.
Yeah.
That's what that is. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Can you even see anything through all that?
If you look really closely.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, he's talented.
All right.
But sadly, at one point in the video, it's like Velcro. He was with one of the girls, and she's with him, and they have to call in the fire department and the jaws of life to separate them because there's just too much pubic hair going on. So.
F*** hippies. I mean, period. F*** hippies. Oh, been saying that my whole life. Be saying it until I die. Hippies.
God, what do you got against the hippies? They talk about is peace and love. Right?
I've heard that guy say it all his life. He's right. He has.
Come on, people now.
Don't do it. Don't finish it. I'll punch you right in the head.
Celebrity birthdays. Jessica Simpson is 28 years old today. Adrian Grenier from Entourage. He's 32. Sofia Vergara. Turns 36 years old today. Peter DiStefano of Porno for Pyros is 43 years old. And Ronnie James Dio.
Yeah!
Rock God. Is 66. Do you ever see Tenacious D in The Pick of Destiny?
Yes.
When Ronnie comes to life off of his poster and talks to them about their mission of finding the pick of destiny. Love that movie. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, let's talk about bad rhymes in songs.
Okay.
We were talking about this yesterday, and you got to have a sense of humor about this stuff because a lot of your favorite songs, if you really, really consider the lyrics, you'll go, huh? What? Why
are
would they?
Are they kidding?
Are they kidding about that? So yesterday we were playing What I Got by Sublime.
Yeah.
And
great song.
Great song. Classic, favorite of most K-Rock fans, and yet all of them must snicker when they hear this.
Love's what I got, don't start a riot.
Okay, that does not qualify for a rhyme.
It does seem like that was something they put in to hold the place when Brad was writing it, and then he said, I'm going to go back and change that at some point when I come up with something that rhymes.
Or they
and
did it to
just
be
never
funny.
Got around to it.
Maybe they did it to be funny, but... You can't change the entire, you know, the way you say the word to make it rhyme. Love's what I got. Don't start a riot. That's a little...
little lame.
That's a little
weak
lame.
Sauce.
Yeah. So we thought we would take some calls from you, the K-Rock listener, 1-800-520-1067. This is Kevin speaking. I do not pay a lot of attention to words. I will listen to a song.
Including your own, by the way.
I will listen to a song a billion times and not know what it's about. That's just kind of the way I am. But yeah. That Love's What I Got, Don't Start a Riot.
You can't miss it. It sticks out.
It really pokes you in the eye. There's nothing you can do about it.
You're not looking for bad lyrics.
Nope.
You're looking for bad rhymes. You're looking for words that clearly do not rhyme with one another, yet that's how they insist on singing it.
Yes. You remember R. Kelly's Trapped in the Closet. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
This, for those of you that didn't see that, is certainly worth going out and buying the DVD. It's a 22-part series.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes. Oh, my God.
About a dude who was trapped in a closet while somebody else was having sex, and it's just so detailed and weird. But at one point, he rhymes two words, and not only do they not rhyme, but he's super happy with the way it came out and really likes to give praise where it's due to, you know, to the gods.
Checks under the bed, then opens the dresser.
Now, to be honest with y'all, the Beretta, I really needed a rhyme word for dresser, you know, and Beretta just came out. But at the same time, it makes sense. That's the interesting thing about Trapped in the Closet.
Uh-huh.
When it's rhyming all the way through, if you notice. Some people don't even notice because they be so into the story that they don't really realize that there's rhyming all the way through this Trapped in the Closet.
Hmm.
And that's what makes it even more interesting, you know. And I don't even know how that happens, but it just comes off like that.
It's divine. It's divine inspiration.
You're a genius. Yeah. Although, if you're so smart, why can't you find a urinal? That's my question to you, R. Kelly.
Oh, he found them.
But dresser and Beretta, I think the problem is that they don't rhyme. That's the problem with that verse.
But what some people do, like Love's What I Got, Don't Start a Riot, so what some people do is change the way the word is said so that it kind of makes sense. So he just says dressa and then ends it with Beretta. And just the fact that they both end with to him, that's a rhyme.
That's a great rhyme.
It's a good rhyme. So, and we play a lot of songs here on K-Rock that have fantastic rhymes, like the Flobots, Handlebars. Mm-hmm. You know this song. This one it's got bad rhymes all the way through it.
I can tell you about Leif Erikson. I know all the words to De Colores, and I'm proud to be an American.
Okay, I don't know that Erikson and American. It's close.
It's forced.
But isn't it
forced.
Yeah, but don't you sit around and go, that's not good. Let's think of
not
something
quite
else.
But then you can't. So you
then
just
you can't.
Go
so you go, let's go with it. Erickson in America. Yeah. No one will pay.
Me and my friend saw Platypus. Me and my friend made a comic book.
Okay, so Platypus and comic book.
Really?
Because I'm sure it's the us part. Comic book. I don't know. Platypus and comic book. You tell me. Is that a rhyme?
Not at all.
Well, I think it's in the realm of rhyming, but it's certainly not good.
Not close enough.
Right.
Not close enough that it should have ended up on the final version.
Yes, correct. So let's go to some phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. Bad rhymes. Again, not bad lyrics, but bad rhymes. And let's start with Tony in Hermosa Beach. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning. So Weezer's one of my favorite bands. Gotta say I love them, but mm-hmm. Their new album, first time I hear it, goes marrying a biatch, having some kiads.
Marrying a biatch and having some kiads?
Are you serious?
But they have to be doing that to be funny, though, right?
Well, absolutely. But I mean, as soon as I heard it, I had to tell all my friends, like, this is the most amazing rhyme I've ever heard in
my life. I think it kind of depends. Like, for example, that R. Kelly clip that we just played. He's really serious about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he thinks Dresser and Beretta is a good rock.
But you know the guys in Weezer have a great sense of humor. So.
Well, the fact that they put biatch in a song shows you that they're just goofing anyway. But that's biatch a great example.
Biatch.
Let's try Eric in Culver City, line 2, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. We're looking for bad rhymes. Eric, what do you got?
Why can't we be friends? They wouldn't have you in the sea. What is it?
Is that why can't we be friends?
Yeah, remember Smash Mouth did it a few years ago. They covered the war classic. But yeah, you're right. What's the line about the CIA?
I know you're working for the CIA. They wouldn't have you in the Mafia.
That's what they say. That's exactly the rhyme.
Also, they don't rhyme comic with platypus. They rhyme comic book with guess how long it took.
Oh, well, that's a rhyme. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for the clarification. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Songs that you know of. They don't have to be K-Rock songs. It could be any kind of song.
Sure.
But that have terrible or forced or ridiculous rhymes in them. We'll take a quick break.
It's the world's greatest skateboarding competition, and it is coming to Southern California this weekend. We have a couple of guests in the studio next hour that I think you're going to be very excited about, by the way.
Joe Maloff and Rob Durden.
Is that correct?
They're close enough for Kevin, I guess.
In the meantime, though, we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. Kevin was struck once again yesterday when we were playing What I Got by Sublime, that really pretty much just anything goes. You can just pretend it rhymes and just sing on. And we got to talking, I had a conversation off the air yesterday about how many songs there are with rhymes that just don't work and how you just kind of accept them because it's in the song and you always hear it. But they're still pretty funny when you point them out.
By the way, Mike has written a bunch of songs, so he knows this. Bean, I don't know if you've ever even tried to write a song, but when you come across a word that you need to find a rhyme with, it is not easy.
Yeah.
I mean, to make it sound good with the way the song's flowing.
To
make it make sense. But Love's What I Got, Don't Start a Riot. That you know that they had to be laughing behind the scenes because it's absurd.
It's just not trying.
And I think they're a band that had a pretty good sense of humor. They were probably maybe a little drunk, you know.
Yeah. Certain times if the rhyme's that bad, though, you would just go a different direction with that whole verse. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay, I can't.
You forget the rhyme. Yeah.
Let's talk to Deb in Orange. She's on line 3 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Deb, we're talking about awful rhymes. What do you got for us?
Kanye West, the song Stronger. This one's pretty funny. Since Prince was on Apollonia, since OJ had isotoner.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. He rhymes Apollonia and isotoner.
Oh, no.
That's right.
But there again, and he, by the way, you know, is serious about it.
Oh, yeah.
But there again, he kind of, you know, says the word wrong so that it makes sense. He just says Apollonia and isotona.
It's kind of cheating a little bit.
Yeah.
I imagine him in the living room going, oh, I got to get this down.
Yeah, what rhymes with Apollonia?
Very funny, Deb. Thanks for the call. Let's try Daniel on line 4. He's also calling about Kanye West, who apparently is a prime offender. Hi, Daniel West Covina. Go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Lisa May.
Hi there.
Yeah, it's another Kanye West song. Yeah, he says, that man, I ain't talked to him, plus I ain't got no phone in my apartment.
What?
Yeah,
he rhymes talk to him in apartment?
Yeah, he says talk to him in apartment.
That might be the worst rhyme ever. Is it supposed to be a rhyme?
He makes, you know, Kanye, he can make anything, or at least try to make anything a rhyme. It sounds pretty ridiculous on the album, but you kind of accept it because it's kind of catchy, you know?
Sometimes the guys can pull it off. Sometimes like Eminem or Kanye or people like that kind of have their own unique style. They can say stuff that you and I would never be able to get away with.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. But talk to him in an apartment. That's strong.
Let's go out to Riverside. We've got Rick on line 6. Hi, Rick. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. What do you got?
Yeah, guys, I think it's Beyonce who's famous for having rhymed girl with girl, but I don't think anything beats the classic Steve Miller song, Abracadabra. He says, Abra, Abracadabra, I want to reach out and grab ya.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a beaut.
Yeah.
That's a terrible song and a terrible lyric, but it does sort of rhyme. I mean, it's closer than a lot of the ones that we're talking about here this morning.
It's no apartment. I'll tell you
it's
that
so
right
apart
now.
A bit. Exactly. Thanks for the call. That is a horrible song, and I'm embarrassed that we live in a country where that record became a number one song, by the way.
Let's go to Alan in Orange. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning.
What do you got? Rhymes. Bad rhymes.
It's Fred Durst and Method Man did a song together, and Method Man's singing. It says, you bit my thesis, I knocked out your front teethis.
Strong. By the way, Fred Durst might be the king of.
Yeah.
You can pretty much go through any song he's ever had anything to do with and find a bad rhyme.
Yep. He has his own wing in the Hall of Bad Rhymes Museum, right?
He does, yes. All right, let's go. Let's see here. Let's go to line 3. Terry in Woodland Hills. Good morning, Terry.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Bad rhymes. What do you got?
Hey, Arlo Guthrie, coming into Los Angeles. It goes, coming into Los Angeles, carrying a couple of keys.
Yes.
Not only is it bad rhyme, it's like, that's taking poetic license way beyond.
Los Angeles awful. With a pair of keys.
With a couple of keys. And it's a drug reference, right?
Sure.
So
sure, of course.
Know, that puts it on the bad list anyway.
Okay. I agree. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Let's try one more. Jesse's in HB on line 2. Hey, Jesse, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good.
Bad rhyme, yeah, what do you got?
There's a Bloodhound Gang song. He's talking to his mom, and she's asked him what he's doing, and he says, I'm trying to find a word that rhymes with vagina. And he goes, how about Sabrina, the teenage witch?
But you know what?
Sabrina, the teenage witch.
But again, that's him being funny. I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that strikes me as somebody just screwing around.
Yeah.
Yeah, and his mom says, oh, Jim, that's a made-up word.
Oh, moms, they just don't get it, do they?
I think I agree with you guys. I think it's the best book ever written. I honestly think that one day we'll outsell the Bible. That's how good this book is.
You know what's funny is there are a lot of websites that are out there, and you see the website and you go, okay, that's kind of funny. Mm-hmm. You don't go back and check it a lot, but you kind of know it's there. And then when you hear that there's a project, there's a book or something being made based on a website, you go, oh, no.
You mean like the fact that there's now a movie based on The Onion? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Where you hear, how did that happen, right?
So, well, one of our favorite websites is hotchickswithdouchebags.com. And the guy who started that, Jay Lewis, is on the phone with us now. Good morning, Jay.
Yes, good morning.
Now, Jay has written a book now called Hot Chicks with Douchebags, and it is very funny.
It is.
Thank you.
And part of the reason is you include a lot of pictures, and the other part of the reason is because you do a lot of explanation.
Yeah, well, I really wanted to get into all the categories of douchebaggery, because I think everybody just assumes it's that, like, you know, New Jersey guy with the, you know, spiky hair. And it is, believe me.
Yeah.
But there's all these other categories, too. So I decided to really get in and break it all out.
Here's what I like. The first part of the book is the definition of a douchebag.
Okay.
And it's a heterosexual male attempting to attract a female through the use of excessive cosmetic products, hand gestures, fist pumping, loud shirts, upturned collars, jewelry, and intricately carved facial hair.
And that sounds about right.
And then you go on and on, and you have really nailed down exactly what a douchebag is, and you consider yourself one. Is that right?
Well, a recovering one, but I sort of have the philosophy that every guy has what I call the bag within, which is that every guy has the potential to douche it up in pursuit of the hot woman.
Right.
And we've all done it at some point in our lives, you know, to varying degrees. So it's really like a universal thing. So I think I'm the first one. You know?
All right.
You are douchebag one in the book, right? Here's the question I may have asked you last time we had John Jay. And I understand that it's not a big deal to get your picture taken with someone, and I'm sure a lot of the pictures on the website and in the book are just people who got their picture taken at a party. But what about the really, really hot chicks who could have anyone? What attracts them to douchebags for relationships?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, we have to figure there's deep psychological damage or trauma from the childhood, you know, daddy issues, you know, those kinds of
there
things.
There is, but there's also the fact that a lot of guys are afraid to approach really hot women, but douchebags have ridiculous confidence,
yeah.
And they always approach.
Absolutely.
You kind of explain in your book why women are attracted to it, right?
Yeah, well, it's kind of a cultural thing right now. There's so much, like, with the spectacle that, like, you know, it's all about the visual, and I think, like, a lot of it is girls are just picking up, like, society sees, like, glittery objects as this, like, high-value
right.
thing. So guys are just, you know, it's like, I always say it's like a little cat looking at a piece of glitter and, like, really wanting it. Like, they're sort of like guys are turning themselves into glitter. And so, you know, it's just like, you know, becoming products, you know, shaving the chest and orange tanning. And it's just, you know, it's just all about spectacle, and then spectacle sort of substitutes for confidence.
Did you think at some point when you were running just the website that it was going to run out of steam and people would lose interest and stop sending photos? Are you amazed at how big it has continued to become?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I used to joke with my friend. I'm like, this joke will get old in 3 months, you know, but I'll keep it going. I'll see if I have something to say. But it just keeps going. I don't know. It's like it's fun for me to write it. And the emails I get are amazing from around the world. And it's clearly, like, struck a chord with people who are just sick of this whole, like, game thing. And
unfortunately, you have tapped into something that was way bigger than you realized when you started.
Oh, yeah. I had no idea that, like, my neuroses would translate to, like, you know, so many people around the world.
It was funny how you said that spectacle replaces confidence. That does make perfect sense. We have a clip from the Family Guy that I'd like to play. I'm not sure if you've heard this, Jay. I'm sure you have. But this is the magic mirror on the wall with K-Fed.
I'm not sure I heard this.
Oh, he didn't have it, did he?
No.
Oh.
We can't.
He did the big setup, and now we don't have it?
I'm so disappointed.
Well, is K-Fed in the book? Because he has got to be. I mean, at one point, you got to remember when Britney Spears used to be hot. That's the ultimate celebrity edition of Hot Chicks with Douchebags.
Yeah, actually, if you go to the main section, all the categories of bags, there's a douchebag called the Fedder Bag.
Oh, my God.
Actually dedicated to the Fedder line, which is all those guys, like, in small towns who think they're Kevin Fedder line. You know, it's like they're not even emulating someone with talent. Like,
yeah.
They're at least doing an impression of a rock star. You'd be like, okay, at least you're trying to be someone who's famous. But to emulate Kevin Federline. Like, this is such a problem.
Now, on page 51, you start talking about the signs that you might be a douchebag.
Yeah, exactly.
And the first one is the popped collar.
Yes.
Now, where did that come from? Is that like a college preppy thing?
You know, it's from the 80s. I mean, I remember it as a kid, like being in grade school, and like everybody was doing it, like, you know, in the late 80s. I don't know how it came back. It was a preppy thing, and then all of a sudden it became like a club thing. Like, it sort of amplifies the head. Look at my head.
Yeah.
The collar is now pointing you up to my glorious head.
Number two is Jesus bling.
Yes.
Which is, of course, the, you know, the diamond encrusted cross or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
That they're wearing around. Number three is unearned dog tags.
Yes, there's nothing worse.
You are not in the
army.
More.
You have not served. Take them off.
Yeah, my father-in-law was in the army and gave his dog tags to my wife, and he jokingly said, "And don't wear it as some kind of fashion, because that's not what it is."
Yeah,
exactly.
Because he knew it, but he knew all about it. Sign four is the phallic Grey Goose.
Yes, those who run around with a giant bottle of Grey Goose vodka in the clubs. This is a very specific club thing. You will see guys carrying around the bottle as a substitute or as some attempt to show the world that they have a big thing in their hand.
Number five is the 10-degree hat tilt.
Yes, that's a classic.
Yeah, that's pretty
good. That is annoying.
It is funny, as we mentioned, Kevin Federline, how many pictures in the book and on the website are white guys, and girls do this too, by the way, who are trying to be rappers, who are throwing the street signs and the gang signs and everything like that. I don't know why. I mean, no one has ever looked good doing that. I don't know. If you're a black guy and you are in a gang or in a rap group, if you're 3-6 Mafia, you can get away with it. Almost no one else can.
Yeah, there's definitely a not a douche pass for actual gang members. Please don't come and shoot me.
Right, sure.
I'm only making fun of the suburban guys.
Explain the douche face to me, please.
Oh, the douche face. Well, it can be the kissy lips. It can be that, like, that smug pout. It's really like, you know it when you see it because you'll have an instant reaction to punch something. It's like, I don't know what it is. It's like this sneer that just kind of is on their face, like, I got this hot girl, and now the world can know how great I am.
Yeah. And number nine is the missing shirt. And you're talking mostly about clubs, guys that go out to clubs without a shirt.
Yeah, there is some forgiveness, again, obviously on the beach. You know, you can't call out a shirtless guy. But in the clubs, you know, I don't care if they have six-pack abs. It's not necessary. There are other people in the room. We don't need to see your greased-up abs.
We are talking to author Jay Lewis. Of course, the book is called Hot Chicks with Douchebags. Just out this week, and you're going to be in our town doing a book signing this weekend. Is this one at Book Soup on Saturday night? Is this going to be the first one, Jay?
Yeah, I'm doing this Saturday at 7 at Book Soup in West Hollywood, and then I'm doing, in a couple weeks, I'm doing one in San Francisco and then one in New York in early August.
How many pictures do you get sent in?
I get about 40 a day.
Oh, my.
But a lot of 40 to 50, but a lot of them are like, oh, please, this is my ex-boyfriend. You must make fun of him. And you open it up. It's like some dude sitting, like, in a suit and a tie, like,
right,
at a restaurant. You're like, what do you not understand about the title of this
website? I like the page of Sir Pex-a-Lot.
Sir Pex-a-Lot's great.
That's good. That's the shirtless guy that, of course, has the giant pecs.
Such a douche.
The Euro bag, the greasy Euro douche.
Yeah.
The beater bag. That's the, of course, the wife beater. But there's all kinds of different people in here, including an employee. Is he still an employee of K-Rock?
I don't think so.
I think he's. Oh, I don't know.
I don't think he
may still do some work for us. But he's one of our DJs here, Scotty Boy, and he's in the book. Yeah,
he's in the book. There's a picture of him, and he's, what's that?
That's excellent.
Yeah, he's in Las Vegas, and he's taken that picture with the douche face.
Yeah.
He's a super cool guy, but it's a great picture.
Yeah, I think I know the one you're talking about. Yeah, that guy, like, that's the douche face.
Yeah.
There's no getting around it. I'm like, I got to make fun of this guy. He's the coolest guy in the world. That's the douche face.
Jay is the world's foremost authority on both hot chicks and douchebags. And again, the book signing is going to be at Book Soup on Sunset Boulevard across from the Old Tower Records location in West Hollywood. That's going to be at 7 o'clock on Saturday night. And I would think, Jay, that this would be a great opportunity for hot chicks out there to have their picture taken with douchebag number one. Be kind of a thrill, I bet.
Exactly. For all the hot chicks who are done with douchebags, you can make up your debt to society by dating me.
Oh, I see how that works.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Just because you're doing a public service.
Exactly.
That's what you're doing.
It's not for me. It's for society. I'm giving back.
All right. Jay Lewis, thank you very much. Hot Chicks with Douchebags is the name of the book. It's a very funny read with some fantastic pictures.
Thank you, guys.
So go out and get it.
I love the show.
Thank you, man. We appreciate it.
Hungry? Grab a can of Blue Diamond Smokehouse Almonds. The irresistible smoked flavor and crunch is the perfect on-the-go snack that's smart eating rolled into one convenient can. Have you had your can a week? I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
I had a can yesterday.
Really?
Seriously, of the Blue Diamond Smokehouse?
I will take you off the list.
It's it was a smaller one, you know?
Yeah.
Right. But I ate the whole can in one day. They probably don't want you to do that. You're probably supposed to, I guess, space it out over a week.
Get the big can.
But
you've had your can.
I ate the whole thing. You know what they got now, too, is the Blue Diamond salt and vinegar almonds.
Oh, well, that sounds good. Those? Oh,
no, I haven't.
Mommy.
No.
That's good stuff.
All right.
So enjoy.
Good to know.
Hey, Christy Brinkley and Peter Cook
have
settled their acrimonious divorce case. Trial, which was getting uglier and uglier as they both hurled accusations at each other, came to an abrupt end today when the lawyers for the former supermodel and her fourth husband reached an out-of-court settlement, giving her the custody of her two children. That was the main sticking point. Who was going to get the custody? Yeah, she gets the kids. He gets $2.1 million from Christy Brinkley.
That's BS.
But she gets to keep the 18 properties in the Hamptons that were in dispute as well.
18? Seriously?
Yeah. They have a lot of real estate.
Wow.
So it looks like now they're all going to go their separate ways. Hmm. I guess, what do you think it cost him, that affair with that 18-year-old? Let me think. It cost him millions and millions of dollars.
Hope she was good. Yep.
You can get like an 18-year-old hooker for like $2,000. Stop playing the tambourine. I'm serious.
How come the... Why?
You know the answer, guys.
Bean uses tambourines for his dog's actual collars.
Yes,
they just have their little tags on, and sometimes they shake their head. But the people listening on the radio can't really hear it. It's just you guys.
Can. They can't. They can. They say, what the hell's that noise?
I think really you calling attention to it may be more annoying than the actual sound of Atomic in his collar.
You know what's really annoying? You having your dogs all over the microphone. Took that out of the equation, there'd be no issue.
Turn off the dog mic. You don't need that one on.
Cynthia Rodriguez and Alex Rodriguez.
Well said.
Thank you. Are in the middle of a nasty divorce as we go through the divorce update here. Now Lenny Kravitz's name has been thrown into the mix. Apparently he was seen with Cynthia Rodriguez in Paris last week. And now Alex's side of the lawyers are saying that there was an affair going on between the two. Alex, of course, has been tied with Madonna. Now Cynthia with Lenny Kravitz. Lenny says... Nothing's going on. They're just pals. And he felt like he was going to throw up after hearing the news that he was going to be accused of having an affair with Cynthia. He believes the mastermind behind the whole story is his former manager, Guy Osiri, who he believes is a little hissy after getting dumped by Lenny just 2 weeks ago. So he thinks it's all a big conspiracy.
Yeah.
Was Lenny surprised himself that he's still alive? I mean, did he even realize that? Lenny Kravitz?
I think he knew.
He knew. Okay.
He was still alive. Huh? Yeah. Speaking of A-Rod, a former Boston stripper has come out of the woodwork to tell the Boston Herald that she slept with A-Rod twice in 2004.
Yay!
After she met him at a Red Sox-Yankees game.
Join the club, Missy.
Yeah, oh, you're so special. Seriously. You slept with A-Rod.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Hey, listen, stripper. Your job is to shake your cans in my face for money and then shut the F up. Don't go around talking about who you slept with. Have some respect for your profession.
That is bad
Good
form.
Point.
Whores and strippers had a long-standing tradition of just banging guys and shutting the hell up.
Yeah.
Hey, that's part of what you think you pay them for, is the discretion.
Goddamn right.
If you wanted it advertised, you'd do it with somebody that you could introduce to your friends.
He would have done it with his wife's best friend if you wanted her to find out about it.
Right, exactly. What's your gut, guys, on whether Alex Rodriguez has been having sex with Madonna? I think no. I don't think they are having an affair. What do you guys think?
Well, apparently, if you believe insiders, it's more than a sexual thing. Alex is, like, in love with her and considers her his soulmate, and he's all wrapped up in the Kabbalah now and stuff. So.
Oh, yeah. No. I've heard that. But do you think they're having an affair? I mean, do you think it is also physical? What's your gut telling you on that?
I think if it's one, it's the other. I would guess.
And why is that so hard to believe? I don't understand.
I don't know, because it's her.
Because she's hideous now.
I understand that, but...
And he's A-Rod.
She doesn't seem like the type who would cheat on her husband.
Oh, yes, she does.
What? Think about how many years she's been married while she's been famous, and it's never... The specter of that has never one time been raised on any occasion.
Because she has him snuffed out.
Yeah, and because she's good at it. She's never been known to be sexually reserved...
Yeah. Look, I'm not
her
saying
entire
that
life has been known to bang guys, girls, groups, furniture.
But being sorry,
when she's married, though,
partners.
Yeah,
I guess.
No. Yeah, she hasn't cheated on any of her partners ever that we've heard about. It just there's something about this that just seems like more is being made of it than we're.
Same with A-Rod. He's a one girl
marriage
guy.
With Guy Ritchie is collapsing.
Yeah,
they're saying that's what's opened the door.
Right.
Which door?
The door to whore. The whore door.
The whore door.
Yes. Yeah. So I say yay.
Okay.
Because without it, there's no not much of a story.
You want
here.
To believe.
Yeah.
All right.
I gotta believe, man.
All right.
It's my job.
Okay.
And the Smashing Pumpkins.
The back
door. The Smashing Pumpkins will celebrate the band's 20th anniversary with a series of special concerts. Billy Corgan has posted on the group's official website that they'll play smaller venues next month, starting with an August 9th gig in Hammond, Indiana. Oh, you gotta love Hammond. Home of the Hammond organ, you know.
I don't think that's
don't
right.
So.
No, I'm just making
they don't have any
now.
Choice but to play smaller venues, though, right?
How
I mean, that's
dare
not the band's
you.
Decision as much as it is the audience's.
Billy said bigger gigs will follow in New York, Chicago, here in L.A., and other cities in November. So if you're still a Pumpkins fan...
Why? That's BS to call it a 20th anniversary tour when you break up the band for years at a time and then get back together.
And here's some interesting news from the Nielsen people. Those are the folks who follow what you watch on television. They're saying the major TV networks are making the right move by making their shows available online. In a little research that they did, they said 35% of all adults who have broadband access have watched at least one TV program shown on television via their internet.
Yeah, it's great if you miss a show and you can go online and catch it. It's awesome.
Lisa, you've crystallized my point perfectly. They said 82% of the people who watched videos on their internet went to find a specific TV show that they had missed the first time it was aired on television.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So it's a chance for people to catch up. 87% watch television programs directly from a TV network website. So they go to ABC just to watch some ABC programming for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And 40% say they use the internet to learn about actors and upcoming episodes on those same said TV network websites. So good move for the major networks to get involved in the internet business.
And the computers and the televisions are getting closer and closer to merging into one unit anyway. There's not going
to
be a distinction
right
between the
other.
Two anymore.
I've got mine right next to each other. They are getting closer and closer. Every time I move, they're getting closer and closer. Soon I'm going to put one on top of the other one. Watch them mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Stick your cathode in my diode, baby.
Oh, every port.
That's right. Right in my USB port.
Airtight.
Give me some HDMI, baby. Today's celebrity birthday is Jessica Simpson. She's 28 years old.
Yes.
Nice melons.
Ronnie James Dio.
Oh! Yes! Oh!
Rock God is 66 years old today. Peter DiStefano of Porno for Pyros is 43. Adrian Grenier of Entourage is 32 years old today. Every time I almost put his eye out.
Almost
put his
eye out.
I don't believe he did.
Ew.
Never told you that story?
No.
I don't think so.
I
almost blinded Adrian Grenier.
Why, how? How?
I was at the Hotel Roosevelt in Hollywood, right across from Grauman's Chinese Theater there.
Yes, okay.
And I was doing something there. I can't remember. But they were shooting Entourage down in the lobby. They were shooting.
I remember that one with our friend, Green.
Seth Green.
He was in that one, in that hotel.
There you go. Yeah. They were shooting that. And I had done something upstairs. I was shooting something. They were in one of these rooms up there. And I'd come down, and I, for some reason, couldn't find a place to get my ticket, ticket to get my car.
Right.
So I was talking to the guy at the counter, and I said, where do I go? He said, you went over there. I said, no, I went over there. And I gestured with my hand, pointing in the opposite direction behind me, not looking. And I poked Adrian Grenier right in the forehead as he was walking towards me.
My.
I almost put his eye out. It was like right in the center, right in the forehead. Just 1 inch one side or the other, he would have lost an eye.
He would have had to wear an eye patch.
He was like, hey, yo, dude. It's like, easy, Curly. Relax. Before I take you out.
Yeah.
I said.
I'm sure you did.
In my head. Sofia Vergara, did we talk about her?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Not enough.
She's 36 years old today.
I'm Ralph. Giant size can.
Indeed. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, let's just get it out of the way.
You probably do.
Play it.
Let's just get to it.
Just go ahead and play it.
God damn it.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
For those of you who didn't see, Rob Durden is part of Robin Big. And we'll talk more about that and more with Rob Durden. Again, Rob is getting 41. Rob Durden is in the studio. He is half of Robin Big.
That was a moment.
Well done.
Good work.
Oh, thank you so much.
Here's what I like about the people that I work with, and Rob, by the way. Never corrected me. They all knew. Bean said it on the air many times.
And he tried. Yes. Deirdick.
And I just wasn't paying attention. And I knew his name. Later in the show, they said, what's his last name? And I said, Deirdick. And I don't know
You didn't.
Where that came
you didn't.
From?
I was retarded. What?
There's, there's a road named Dearden around here.
The whole time you were here, I called you by the wrong name.
You did.
And you're an a-hole for letting me do it.
You see, but it's I let it ride. You know?
I
I'm
know.
So used to it that I just let it ride. You know?
Oh, that was embarrassing.
The reason Rob is here in our studio is because this weekend is the Maloof Money Cup at the OC Fairgrounds, the world's greatest skateboarding competition. Wait, did I say Maloof? Because our friend Joe Maloof is here also.
Maloof is on fire! Maloof is on fire!
Joe is the president of the Maloof Companies. Of course, you probably know him best as the owner of the Palms Casino Resort in Las Vegas, which is one of our favorite spots when we head out to that.
He also Joe participates with a minor league NBA team.
It's
like a
really?
Training league. It's one of those things.
Yeah. Joe, how do you feel about seeing the Celtics as the world champions? Of course, you hope for the Kings, but is it weird? Were you surprised to see how good they were this year?
Well, actually, I was surprised that they won it because I thought the Lakers would win it in five. I really thought they had more talent, but yeah. When you took Garnett and Ray Allen and those guys, Paul Pierce, of course, they wanted it more badly than anybody else. Yeah. They really wanted that ring. None of them had a ring before, and so
right.
It was a good opportunity for them. I'm happy for them.
Yeah.
It was an exciting series, too.
Great series. Great series. Anyway. Ratings were up about 50%, so
wasn't that great
I think
series.
It was good for the NBA.
It was good basketball, Kevin.
It was pretty boring.
If you're a Celtics fan, it was good basketball. If
that
you're a Lakers fan,
game was real fun. What
right.
Was that, like 95 to
right.
6?
There was a blowout. That's
200-14 was the final
But a lot
game.
Of the games right. were close, though. A lot of the games were close. I'm just saying.
Fake injuries. All right.
I remember when we stood with you at the Palms when we were in Las Vegas last year, and Joe made reference to this skateboarding thing that he was putting together. He was asking us, what do you guys think about this? How involved do you want to be? And we say, love it, love it, love it. And it's finally here this weekend. What makes it the world's greatest skateboarding competition, Joe?
Well, I think a couple of things. Number one, when we wanted to design the course, we went to the skaters themselves. We talked to Rob and Andrew Reynolds and those type people, and they came back to us with the design. It was their blueprint. And we built one of the most spectacular courses ever mm-hmm. in skateboarding. Maybe Rob can talk to that a little later.
Yeah, Rob.
And then of course the purse. We have $100,000 for the first for the
wow.
street contest and $100,000 for the vert. And
what
is a
typical tournament?
Probably like 50,000. 50,000 was the highest one before this.
The highest one. So this is double what the highest one was.
But this also is the first time because of this. You know what he did was to listen to everybody and allow, because competitive skateboarding is pretty much non-existent at this point, and the top pros don't compete really. You know, so this particular format that we developed for this event is more or less like a real street format. So it's the first time where the top 30 skateboarders alive are all going to compete. It's the very first time it's ever happened.
How about
so
that?
Wow.
It's going to be like, it is without, I mean, it is the biggest thing to happen to street skating and probably the history of it, especially the competitive history. You know?
And it's going to be at the Orange County Fairgrounds, right? During the Orange County Fair.
Yeah, and I think that the amazing thing is we built this course. And after they skate it, we're going to destroy it, never to be skated on again.
Yeah, it's the first course ever for, like, plaza. Like, it looks like an urban plaza made out of concrete built for one weekend, which
wow.
is...
Really?
That's a good use of your money, Joe.
Yeah, I know. Rob said, well, it's a little expensive, but we want to make it the best and exciting, and I think that's
right, but do you have to destroy it?
Yeah,
can
we have to.
I mean, really?
Hey, I can tell you this.
It's a C4?
I'm not even kidding. I thought it was, like, so glamorous. Like, yeah, like, build this and beautiful and tear it down. And then when I saw it done, I'm like, oh, my God, like, this is so tragic. Like,
right.
How is this thing going to go away right now?
Yeah. Now, it's tomorrow through Sunday, right?
Yes. When Friday through Sunday, yeah. It's tomorrow, Friday?
Yeah,
yes.
It is
already.
You should really be more ready for tomorrow.
As you know, I doubted myself, so I was looking. I think it's Thursday today. Yes, tomorrow through Friday. Tell us when certain events are. There's a bunch of different ones, right? Rob, you?
It's skateboarding all weekend.
Okay, yeah. Good. Thank you.
That
kind of detail.
The finals are on Sunday night.
Sunday
the
night.
Semis
okay.
on Saturday night.
Well, actually, it's going to be on CBS television.
Oh, it is?
On July 20th, the rebroadcast of it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So,
and this is,
it.
What, 2-3 weeks before X Games? Are some of the people already out here for that, or was there no tie into that whatsoever?
No, I mean, it's a really no one. X Games is, you know, kind of like whatever, you know, and most guys don't even go, you know, so it's just... It just happens to be a couple weeks before it.
Okay, so there's no tie-in whatsoever. But
this game's just crap.
That's what I'm hearing.
You heard it here first.
What's your complaint about X-Games?
I don't speak for Joe. I don't speak for Joe. I speak for myself.
I speak for Joe, and I can tell you that he's saying the X-Games are crap. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so tell us the different events that you have. You have men's and women's pro street.
We have the amateur event. We have some of the top amateurs from all over the country that will be participating on Friday. And then we have the top vert skaters. We have, you know, Jake Brown's one of our good friends. That
wipeout was one of the, since he's okay now, one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Is this the shoe guy?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. There's a guy in the big air ramp.
His shoes fell off.
Fell down and his shoes literally exploded off his feet. I've never seen anything
like that. I've watched that 100 times.
Yeah, I know. That was something else.
And I was there at Staples Center and we were all like, that guy's dead. This is not as fun as it was 5 minutes ago.
No, it's incredible the athletes that these guys are. I've got a great respect for them because they really are in great shape, and some of the tricks that they do are spectacular, unbelievable.
And that they're still walking.
Yeah, the fact they're still alive. The fact that Jake would go back to it after that, by the way. Yeah.
And something about skateboarding is there's a brotherhood about them. They stick together. They pat each other on the back.
Yeah. That's true. There's a lot of There's a lot of kind of rooting for each other because
they really
like to see stuff happen.
Rob, what's the injury that would be the worst that you would consider in your long career?
You mean that he's had?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, for me, it's just destroyed ankle that needed surgery. You know what I'm saying? But because as a street skater, that's your worst nightmare is coming down back on the board when the board flips and it's just if you land on the truck or the side, just pack. Just the worst, you know. But I've saved all, like. You know, I think the knees are probably the worst injury you can take in our sport. And
you've saved up.
Knock on
wood.
You've
saved up what?
You
still have them covered, or what?
Pretty solid.
Okay,
pretty solid.
All right.
How did Ryan Scheckler break his arm this week? You guys heard about that? What happened to him? I didn't hear the details of. What did he do it while skateboarding?
I think we got a Paul Pierce thing going on here right now.
Really?
I'm just playing.
How about that?
I'm just playing. Like, I think he just landed on it really hard and smashed it. And rumor has it he's refused to get a cast so he can compete, you know.
This is what I love.
Are you serious?
Yeah, but I'm not even kidding. Like someone texts me at like 2 in the morning, like, yeah, I guess he slammed his elbow really hard, and the first thing out of his mouth was like, oh, no, the Maloof money cut. I'm like, come on.
Is he going to – do you know much – is he going to wrap it? Is he going to – what's the
– I'm not sure.
I really think he's going to be fine, man. He's an 18-year-old little battle hardened, you know what I'm saying? He's used to blowing out an elbow.
And he's faking? Is that what you're saying?
No,
with the Paul Pierce comment?
No.
You're saying he's faking. Paul Pierce.
You heard it here first. Just kidding, Ryan.
Wheelchair. Kidding. All right. You could get tickets at Ticketmaster. Does this include the fare price, or how does that happen? You get into the fare as well? Or?
Yeah. You buy a ticket. It's $12. You buy a ticket and get into the fare for free, and then for $3 you can come by and see the best in the world.
Wow. You're not a very good businessman, are you? You just put up a ramp just for the weekend and then destroy it and let people in for $3.
And then he gives away all this money as a prize.
Yeah. Wow.
That's what Joe's famous for, is not being
not
a good
being
businessman.
Yeah. Yeah.
He definitely
That's
pegged
why my
him.
Brothers run the company. And
You're the idea man.
Yeah.
The website is maloofmoneycup.com. You guys are going to stick around. We'll take a break and come back with more right after this.
What's the website? I'm sorry. I was not paying attention.
Maloof
Money Cup. Maloof! Maloof! Maloof is on!
Some of the most bizarre off-air conversation going on, by the way. I don't mind telling you. Rob Dyrdek is in the studio. He is one of the pro skateboarders that is going to be part of the Maloof Money Cup at the OC County Fairgrounds all weekend long. It's the world's greatest skateboarding competition. And our friend Joe Maloof, president of the Maloof Company.
Maloof! Maloof! Maloof is on fire!
Wow.
He is also in studio. He's the bucks behind this competition this weekend. Last time we saw you in Las Vegas at your place, you had us out to the Palms, Joe. You pointed out to the window and showed us something that was going up next door. That's another new property you have, and that's open in Vegas now?
Yes, it's open. That was our condo project called Palms Place, and we have a brand-new restaurant called Simon's. Really nice. It's a little different from the Palms. It's quiet, but it's a lot of fun as well. It's luxurious and a little hideout if you want to.
But you
have
can
a
stay
nice
there.
Condo.
You don't have to have bought.
No, you
a
could.
Condo.
Yeah, you could. It's either a condo or a hotel. It's a hotel condo. So
cool.
I don't go to Vegas for quiet. That's not what I'm looking for.
Sometimes.
Well, like, about nice. 50 yards down the road is the Palm. So
yeah, so you have it when you want it, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
You can have it when you
want
it.
It seems like one of the high end features of all the new places in recent years in Las Vegas has been the swimming pool. That's an area that has really grown a lot in your town. What did you do for the pool for this one?
We have something called Ditch Fridays. Every Friday, you come out to the Palms, ditch work, ditch school, whatever. Yeah.
Good.
Come out and hang out at the Palms, and it's really spectacular. We have thousands of people there at the at the pool, and they have a good time. Ditch work.
I like it.
Is yours a topless place like some of them are?
No, we don't have topless there.
But you would. But if that happened, you wouldn't crack down, right? I mean, you wouldn't, no, you wouldn't get mad at anyone.
No, we don't get mad at anybody at the Palms. Right. Customers can do whatever they want.
Speaking of the ladies, Rob, I'll ask you this because in addition to the pro, to the pro and amateur street skaters that we're going to see this weekend, and the pro verts, including Sean White, by the way, and Bucky Lasik, and all the big names, Bob Burnquist is going to be out there. You also have the women's category, and I know there's money for them. How is the women's how are the women coming along in your sport?
Not so hot, man.
Really? Is it? Do they have trouble with it with skateboarding?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I think
I love that about you.
You know, kill him over there.
Not good.
You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. I think it's almost like, dude, are chicks dunking in the NBA, WNBA? You know,
once they are.
It's sort of like that. You know, they skateboard and they are. I will say, in the modern era, there's some girls that are doing some stuff that's really shocking versus like this new generation of girls that grew up in the streets, you know. So,
but it's mostly guys for a long time.
I mean, for the most part. It's just, I think it's just one of those things, you know. It's there's a fear threshold and just a physical ability that it takes to have sort of snappy power muscle to do skateboarding. You know?
I'm not exactly a skateboarding champion, but I was shocked when you said that the top athletes don't compete anymore. That there's not really
how did it
come to that?
What it basically is our sport is driven by you know, innovation, and you're, as a professional skateboarder, you're judged by what you do in the streets. That's on and the schoolyards and the handrails, and so like all the best dudes in the world don't go to contests because they allow anybody to enter these contests, right? And then you have to do a 60-second routine, and if you miss one trick, then you fall all the way back. So this mediocre kid that lands all of his tricks makes it to the final, and the world-class, huge, super pro tries a way harder trick and falls once and is penalized and doesn't make it.
Oh, so I see. All right, that makes sense.
It's basically, and what this format is that makes it so much different is it divides skateboarding up into five distinct levels and distinct lanes, and then everybody goes in a group for 10 minutes at a time, so it promotes the most innovative skateboarding instead of the most consistent, you know. So now you're going to watch skateboarding innovation happen right in front of your eyes instead of waiting to pick up a magazine or a video to see it, and that, you know, that's why they're all out.
That's pretty cool. And did you came up with this idea, Joe? Did you?
Yeah, I did. I thought about, we had done a basketball camp for 6-8 years in Sacramento, and it got a little bit stale, and so we wanted to do something different. Decided to do a skateboarding camp, and then we got to meet Rob and, you know, Jake and Ryan Scheckler and some of the guys, and they said, why don't you do a competition? That's how it started.
Did you tell him that Rob thinks he's faking, Scheckler? You tell him that?
No, I didn't.
Right. I'm just seeing. I'm just asking.
No, I didn't. No, not really.
I'm just trying to get you in trouble.
I'm trying to build drama. You know what I'm saying? This is scripted before I got in here.
Rob is incapable of doing that. Nice lie that everybody's supposed to do when they're doing interviews and stuff.
Happen.
And they go, oh, no, it probably hurts a lot. He's a tough guy. He goes, it's not that bad. Girls, not that good. All right, so it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You can get tickets at Ticketmaster, or you can get them at the OC Fair and Event Center box office. Mm-hmm. You can get them if you're down at the OC Fair and you stumble on it. Can you just go?
Sure.
Okay, but you have to get into the fair to get into this thing.
Or you buy a Maloof Money Cup tickets, $12, you get into the fair for free.
Okay. Oh, I see.
So it's just $12, and
great.
You get into the fair, so it's great.
That's not a
good deal.
It's a good fair.
It's a good deal.
And when you tear down the skate park, will you be selling off the pieces of concrete as souvenirs or anything like that? Or are you just going to take it to a landfill, or what are you going to do with it?
That's up to Joe C., the guy that built it. I don't know what he's going to do with it, but it's all going to be destroyed. It's a shame, like Rob said.
Tragic.
It does seem like you ought to be able to put it on a flatbed or something and in pieces and move it somewhere where they don't have a skate park, it seems like.
It's just not possible.
It's not
possible. It's just poor
concrete.
Well,
you're a dick then.
Because it's poor concrete, it's like more one piece or something?
Yeah, it's unmoved. I mean, it's just you couldn't move it if you wanted to. You know?
Well, then tear down the fairgrounds and just leave it as a skate park.
Hey, I'm not even kidding you. I said they should leave it here and then just move the arena somewhere. You
just
know?
Move the fair. Yeah. That's not a bad idea. All right.
It is a great event. It's the first time anything like this has ever happened in the history of professional skateboarding. Again, almost $500,000 in prize money. MaloofMoneyCup.com.
Oh!
Damn it.
Oh, good. Or go through the OC Fair or Ticketmaster. Joe, Rob, great to see both of you guys. There's your new reality show right there is Joe and Rob. That's the new MTV show. I'd love to see you guys living together in a house.
Oh, God. Now, Rob,
I don't think he's ready for that.
Unless
I live in his house.
Can you tell us anything about your TV show / movie / album, whatever it is you're doing?
No, so I have a new show called Fantasy Life that I start filming for next month that'll be on the air in November, and it's just sort of about kind of, you know, where in my life everything's a fantasy,
right?
Before it's a reality, you know, and even mini horses and everything sure. else is a fantasy till you find out what a harsh reality it is.
It's a learning curve.
Those of you who don't know, Rob has turned on the mini horse. He's not happy with it. He thinks it's a dick, and he has jettisoned it.
You know, so basically, I start shooting that, and it'll sort of follow more of like the business side of I'm going to produce it and have fun with it and be ridiculous. But like my toy line and movie that I got coming out in October and just everything that I'm doing for skateboarding and the sport and all the stuff that I'm doing is sort of going to profile all that stuff. You know?
Fantastic. Well,
all right. Well, you got to come back and see us when we're getting close to that show being on the air. And Joe, we're going to come see you in Las Vegas sometime this year. How about that?
Great.
By the way, we've been trying to do a singles party in Vegas, and we've had two or three different places that said, yeah, great, and then they pull out.
Well, they do some research on K-Rock, right. And then they say, oh, I didn't realize it was you.
We're the wrong element, apparently, and it scares, like, shareholders and stuff. So will you give me a verbal okay now?
Yeah,
the whole hotel we can take over, right?
Well, I don't know about
Fantastic.
That.
You heard it from Joe. All right, man, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
It's tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday at the Orange County Fairgrounds, and thank you, Rob.
Yeah, greatest skateboard contest on earth. Don't miss it.
First, the Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air.
323-520-AFRO is the number. Leave a message 24 hours a day, and it could get played back on the air.
Why did Helen Keller love going to the bathroom so much? Because her parents left a plunger in the toilet.
Ah! That is awful.
I didn't realize, first of all... Second of all, I didn't realize that Helen Keller jokes were coming back.
I didn't either, but they seem to be. Is Dave bringing that back? Because he seems to be wielding the biggest stick, so to speak.
Yeah.
Loves what I got. Don't start the riot. He says it like that because he's known to talk Jamaican sometimes. Don't you get it? Riot. Hot. You're not cool.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hey, guys. I hope you had a great show on Thursday. I could have heard it, except when I heard your little duet of Wing and Sam the Armenian Comedian.
We came on the air this morning with that. Wing and Sam the Armenian Comedian sing a duet on an AC/DC song. And it's the best thing ever. This guy seems to be insinuating that he left us after that.
I managed to put my fist through my radio. You guys wouldn't happen to know where I get a cheap radio or good medical care for a severely bleeding hand, do you?
No, but I know where you can get the best song ever recorded.
On the highway to hell. On the highway to hell.
Come on.
How does it work with you, Kevin? You're driving in and just all of a sudden you just go, oh, my God, I have to hear Wing and I have to hear it the second I get into the studio.
Pretty much. Yeah, yeah, I don't know why. I was just in the mood because it's been a long time.
Beechester boy, he liked it. Tastes like Zac Efron's
pee.
Oh!
Wow. Wow is right.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. I'm in the right now.
This might be a good time to say, don't feel the need to call us from the bathroom.
Yeah, that's oversharing.
Because really, you could wait, say, 30 seconds, and then call us afterwards.
At work, and I'm enjoying it. I'm thinking about Lisa May. Oh, yeah.
Oh. All right. Okay. All right. Excellent.
Hey, John Benet Ramsey would be 18. Oh, man, just think how hot she would be.
Well, they'd have to dial back her makeup. By the way, did you see the break on that case yesterday?
I did.
You see that in the
all
news?
This time.
For folks who didn't see the news, you know how they call it an umbrella of suspicion, but I would have to say most people believe that her parents killed her, right?
Yeah.
The district attorney came out yesterday and apologized to the parents saying, yeah, we found new DNA evidence, and the two people we can rule out as being involved in her death are her mom and dad. They didn't have anything to do with it.
But how many years did they say it was the mom and dad?
Absolutely.
Oh.
It seemed like they were dragging him into the police station for questioning about every week, it seemed like, for 5 years. And now they're coming out and saying, yeah, sorry about that. Okay, go back to your regularly scheduled life.
Oh,
really hard to know what she's laughing about, but I'm sure it had something to do with our show.
Well, I was thinking it didn't.
Didn't?
Yeah, that was my thought.
Dude. She almost got it.
What is going on here?
Okay.
What?
What?
I think she said leave a message. I couldn't tell.
Huh.
I couldn't tell.
I thought it was leave a Mexican.
I can, well, maybe. I can guarantee you that had something to do with alcohol or weed.
Yeah.
One or the other.
Please play the clip, Cinco de Mayo with the I'm Eating Comedian. Every day, all day long, it's pretty much the funniest thing that's ever happened. Kevin Bean Show.
Yeah.
Are you paying attention? Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Okay. Do not swear.
Really?
Watch
not at all.
Your language, not even a little bit.
None.
Do you understand?
He's. You're looking at him as if he's speaking a different language. Every time you're on the air, you swear.
And do not swear.
You can't do that.
So not
you know,
this time.
You know, we Armenians are like the n****s, okay?
Oh, Jesus.
What is wrong? Oh, my God.
How did that just happen? What's going
you can't
on?
Say that, Sam. What
we is just said, on? We just said don't swear. Okay. I'm sorry. We're going to cut that segment short, Sam. We're not going to have time for anything else with you.
Here's the thing we like about him is he was looking at us afterwards like we were the crazy ones.
Yeah.
Right. He was like, what? What's everybody laughing about?
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is
Q.
And it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Thursday morning. What's going on, Argar?
Well, finally, we don't have to listen to anybody bitch about Christy Brinkley and Peter Cook any longer. Their divorce proceedings have been settled out of court. It's all come to an abrupt end today when a settlement was reached this morning around 6:15 a.m. after an all-night session between the lawyers.
Wow.
6:15?
Yeah. Dude, those all-night sessions lawyers are hot, too.
That's right.
I don't think that's
show me your briefs.
I don't think most of us cared about them when they were married and really don't care about them now that they're divorced either.
No, but it's been good public fodder, I'll tell you that. They've been fighting in the press for a long time.
We sure have.
Would you like me just to go on and
pay
more attention to this story?
No, I'm not saying it's not newsworthy. I'm glad that they settled. But, hey, is her husband still seeing the 18-year-old or was it just a fling?
It was just a fling that cost him millions of dollars.
How about that?
Christy apparently gets the custody of the kids. He gets some visitation rights. She has to give him $2.1 million. You know, she's got all kinds of clothing lines and eyeglass lines and all kinds of stuff. She's a wealthy woman in her own right.
Yeah.
She gives him $2.1 million, but he has to give up 18 different properties in the Hamptons that were in dispute that they own.
Dude. Wow. How do you own 18 homes in the Hamptons?
You're rich.
That's ridiculous.
And 2.1 is nothing compared to what that real estate's worth there in
New
York.
No kidding.
So,
Lisa, you don't think it's enough, though, right? She should have had to pay him more, right?
Well, I honestly don't know who bought those properties. Maybe they bought them together.
If they did, they should split them.
Yeah, you should get more than 2.1.
I don't know. You don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't know.
Neither do you.
You don't know.
No, but I'm better at acting like I do know.
You don't know.
I'm better at faking it.
You don't know. That Jimi Hendrix sex tape we were talking about a few months ago will soon be available to you at your local porn store. Vivid Video made a deal with the Hendrix estate when they balked at the video, saying it wasn't Jimmy at all who was getting it on with two furry groupies.
Furry.
They were quite hirsute.
I don't know that word.
That's a fancy word for hairy.
Hairy.
Hairy. Yeah.
Armenian?
I don't believe they're Armenian. I think they were just 60s hippies. the estate said, not Jimmy. So they said, okay, we'll tell you what. We'll hold on to it for a couple months. You prove that it's not Jimmy. We won't release the video, and we'll give you $100,000 on top of it.
Really?
For your trouble. That's how sure they were it was Jimmy. And they have received no word from the Hendrix estate for the past 60 days. So now game on.
Sounds like a risky strategy because there's no requirement for the Hendrix estate to prove that negative. They can still let them release it and still sue the pants off of them and win.
Can they?
Or can they?
Well, we'll find out, I guess. But
yeah,
unless,
well,
I mean, the video company,
degree, Mister. I don't. I no, want you to pipe
the video
down.
Company can say it's up to you to prove that it's not, but it's not really. That's them saying that, but they don't have any legal requirement to prove that it's not him.
But they will if they want to sue and win. I think
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So maybe they stand to make a lot more money by letting them release it than suing them and being right.
But why would they sue them if it's not their property? You know, if they got this through legal channels and someone has this video, if it's the family of the group, one of the groupies or whatever,
right.
Then where's the suit?
I don't know. I think maybe they would need authorization from Hendrix's estate in order to release a video with, you know, using his name and likeness.
Couldn't one of the girls release it, though?
I would think so.
I thought you have to have participation, you know, from all the people involved.
Well,
does anyone know less about stuff than us?
No, certainly not.
But I don't pose the questions I can't answer. That's the problem. Now we don't have any answers.
A lot of I just went out there because I'm curious. I was just wondering. That's
all right. If you're a lawyer, call blah, blah, blah.
No, that's not
necessary.
I'd like
to know how the law works on this one.
That's not necessary.
What's the copyright situation from 1969 when this video was done? Let me look in the law journals.
I mean, I couldn't take a photograph of Jimi Hendrix and put it on a T-shirt and sell it today without giving money to the estate. It seems to me like these people can't technically release this video without paying off.
And we're saying we don't have enough information to continue this conversation.
But what if you had a photograph of you and Jimi Hendrix and you put it up on your website? Could you do that because it was your photo?
I don't have the
answer.
Or would
you be sued?
I think you can because we've certainly seen films come out before where only one person okayed it.
Exactly, Lisa. Like the Vern Troyer video, yeah. That chick's shopping around.
Right,
now.
He doesn't want it out there, but she does.
You know, we're coming up 2 weeks vacation. I've already an ass full of bean. I'll tell you.
Ass full of bean, by the way, is playing his acoustic.
That's the video that I'm going to be releasing, and Bean's going to sue me.
Oh!
Antonio Banderas.
Hi.
Is talking to the New York Post about his relationship with Melanie Griffith.
Yes.
They've been married for a dozen years, and he says he falls in love with her over and over again every day.
Oh, he's so better.
He's so passionate.
You
know what would break that record, that streak? Go rent any of her movies,
yeah,
Antonio.
Watch one,
and then you'll fall right out of love with her, as we all have
or
done.
Or look at her.
Selma Blair, by the way,
yeah.
Is the porn star. Wouldn't that be a great porn name, Selma Blair? Because she'd be naked.
Sure.
I don't get
B-A-R-E,
that.
B-A-R-E, Kevin.
I don't get that.
Oh, geez.
Sorry.
Selma Blair is in the new Hellboy movie that opens up this weekend. And she was asked by an interviewer, if she could choose any superpower, what would it be? One of my favorite questions of all time.
Oh, dear God, I hate that question.
Why?
Because it's
just
stupid.
We've had so many great screaming arguments in the office over that question.
No, but I'm saying when they ask the people on the red carpet.
Well, she's in a superhero movie. It all sort of ties in.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
You know what she said?
What?
Invisibility.
That's got to be one of the top two guesses.
She says she's so antisocial she would not like to be seen by anyone.
It's different than my reason for invisibility.
I know. You want to sneak into locker rooms and stuff.
Let me go into the physics of being invisible.
Could she be sued by the owner of invisiblepantyliners.com?
Ralph, what's your superpower that you most covet?
Flight. I'd be a
flight. Yeah, me too. Flight would be number one for me, invisibility number two.
I would be flight and then super strength for me. Super strength.
That's pretty cool.
Number one.
I just want to remember stuff. I'm not asking.
superpower of memory
I'm
of
shooting,
what happened 5 minutes ago.
I'm shooting low. I don't need much.
You're shooting blanks.
Yeah.
Oh.
And little Levi Alves McConaughey, or McConaughey, as they're calling him on the internet.
McConaughey.
He is 3 days old, and he's already earning his keep from mom and dad. He, of course, is the son of Matthew McConaughey and Camila Alves. TMZ.com reports that they just sold his baby pictures to OK Magazine, the British tabloid, for $3
million. Oh, my God.
Unless
he's
the kid has
famous.
A third arm or like
a tail,
8 toes. What's the point?
Horns and a big rocky fist like Hellboy.
But only one.
Only one. Part of the deal is they get a special Christmas photo layout as well to publish later on this year.
That's going
to
be exciting.
And if Camilla and Matthew ever get around to getting married after having their kid, OK, we'll get the first dibs to the wedding pictures. They get the first rights.
Right,
but they'll have to pony up some extra cash for those photos. So it's not all inclusive, but it made
certainly
a long-term
deal. Nothing more riveting than baby pictures of other people's kids. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
OK Magazine just published on their cover Jamie Lynn Spears and her baby, Maddie Bryan, on the cover, paid her $1 million for those pictures.
Jackpot.
So it's let there be advice to all you girls out there. It pays to be an unwed teenage mother. So get to work, ladies.
I think that's the message.
That's what we're telling you today. Because if you're 16, 17, and you have a kid, you make $1 million.
All of you.
That's the way that rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jessica Simpson's 28 years old today. Adrian Grenier from Entourage is 32. Peter DiStefano of Porno for Pyros turns 43 years old today. Ronnie James Dio. Rock God is 66. Banjo player Bella Fleck of Bella Fleck and the Flecktones turns 50 years old today. I just want to say Bella Fleck.
That's a great band name.
And Sofia Vergara.
Nice melons.
Turns 36. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I'm just saying, I don't pay my bills. Stuff gets turned off. That's my point.
It happens here,
that's
too.
That's what happens here, too.
They repossess stuff. They come over and get... What kind of a lame, just second-grade business are we running here?
It's the Kevin Bacon
show. Second grade. It seems like we're in second grade. I don't even understand this.
I think second rate makes more sense. Actually, I'm with Ralph on that. No, it's the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Director Guillermo del Toro joins us in about 15 minutes. First, though, what Kevin's talking about is that K-Rock struggles. I think that's what we can all agree on. And almost every day something happens that makes us go, this is a professional operation that people are trying to run here? What's the deal?
How do they get away with this?
Because it's radio. It's the beauty of working in radio. It's like, you know, if you're in a class full of ugly girls at school,
yeah,
and you're just sort of marginally not ugly, you're the most beautiful girl at the prom.
But then she opens her mouth and you realize that you're super ugly. That's us. We were trying to call Bean the other day, a couple days ago, after the show. He lives in Seattle, so we were trying to call him, as we usually do after the show, so that we can all yell at him. And it was disconnected, or he wasn't answering, and we couldn't
hear. Yeah, it was disconnected. The line was disconnected. It never rang on this end, and then when Alex texted me and said, where are you? I said, I'm sitting here right by the phone. I picked up the phone, and it said, this number has been disconnected. A little research found out, and by the way, I didn't even know 9 years on that apparently that phone number that you guys used to call me on is in K-Rock's name. That's one of the phones that they run. And they are supposed to pay the bill and apparently did not. So it got shut off. And by the way, doesn't it take a while before your phone
yes.
gets shut off? I mean, aren't they one of the companies that really gives you 2-3 months notice before yeah. they pull the plug?
Yeah. And this the fifth letter says, look, seriously, we don't want to have to shut up your phone. Please,
right.
please pay
That's
us.
What I thought.
And then the sixth one is a personal visit from someone from the phone company to actually knock you in the head and say, what are you doing? But this company, I don't know how they do it. And it isn't the first time by far. We have our satellites don't get paid. We can't
remember we didn't have Dish Network or whatever it was that we had because they didn't pay for the service.
Right, that's where we tape stuff here at the station.
We couldn't mail stuff for a long time.
Everyone that's
mail
right.
it. Couldn't we mail ran stuff. Out of postage on the postage meter in the mail room
because we owed them too much, and they said no, enough. You can't. So then we couldn't mail anything from the station.
How many times did we stop getting newspapers in the morning?
Newspapers every twice a year would they stop coming because they haven't been paid? Do they what? Who's running this station, and how are they running it this way? Honestly.
Gee, your station has a lot of problems.
I mean, yes. if you and I ran our lives this way, we would be thrown in jail. They just don't pay in. Their policy is don't pay people.
I don't care about any of that, but yesterday, went to get coffee. There was no coffee.
No coffee.
Kitchen. That's where I draw the line.
Well, you need coffee when you get up early. I mean, let's be honest.
This station runs on coffee.
Yeah, it does. Coffee and heroin. Those are the two things
sure,
they yeah. need to provide on a regular
we always
basis.
Have plenty of that because we count on Omar. He's a steady supply.
But how do you run a business where you don't pay bills? I mean, are there other businesses that don't pay their electricity and the lights get turned off and they don't pay for satellite, they don't pay for TV, they don't pay for phones? This is basic stuff that you use every day. I don't even
Uh-oh.
Understand that.
Uh-oh. I think they're powering down the transmitter.
I
think this may be the last broadcast. I think we're running out of juice, you guys.
Oh,
I think there's
God.
A bill that...
Gone for good. Hey, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Maybe there's a method to their madness.
There it is.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, nephew?
Mr. Maloof was in our studios earlier today talking about his Maloof Money Cup at the OC Fairgrounds, July 11th, 12th, and 13th. That's this weekend, the world's greatest skateboarding competition with all the best in the world. You can be there if you call right now at 1-800-520-1067 and get on the air for Kevin and Bean's What It Do, Nephew.
All right, let's begin with Steven in Los Angeles because his call is funny. Good morning, Steven.
Hey, guys. Good morning. What it do?
What it do?
Well, I was in Vegas over the weekend, as everybody else was, and I happened to notice in the sports book that the Seattle Gariners are 999-1 to take the World Series.
Yeah, that's a good bet right there.
999 to 1.
Yeah. Make a lot of money.
Except for they won't win.
They're already mathematically eliminated, aren't they?
I don't think they are. They are. They're 20 games out of first place right now. 20 games behind Anaheim, which is, you know, only 20, which is, I think the other three teams in the division would have to collapse or be in a plane crash or something like that for the Mariners to even get close.
Aren't the Mariners very close to being eliminated for next season as well?
Yes. I'm afraid so. Okay. That's the way it's been going.
They're the Clippers of baseball.
They are.
Yeah.
They are one of only four teams that has never appeared in a World Series. So it is a sad little franchise, if that's what your point is, Steve.
And they have sad little fans. All right. Let's go to Anson in Beverly Hills. Good morning, Anson.
Morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
I just want to know, what gave Hasselhoff the right to judge talent on America's Got Talent?
The show America's Got Talent?
Yeah.
But Anson's got a point. I watched the show. And I was watching the other day, and there was this beautiful, talented 17-year-old beautiful girl with a guitar singing a song. And she was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And Hasselhoff said, okay, you've got the raw talent, but what you need is that extra thing where you draw the audience in with the emotional power of your songs. I was like, when have you ever done that, Hoff?
Jump in my car.
He has very good talent in drinking, I have to say.
He does do that well.
He has a gift, that's for sure.
That is true.
This is a mess.
I hate to defend the Hoff, but you don't have to be able to do something in order to be able to judge something. Like, there are coaches of basketball teams who can't play basketball, but they know what it takes to be a good basketball player.
Yeah, but those coaches don't try to play.
Right. That's the difference.
They don't go out on the floor because they know, look, I can't do it. I'm just going to teach other people to do it or guide their careers. Hasselhoff still gets up on the stage and sings.
As if he's got something
and thinks he can.
Yeah, he did.
You're right. That's a good point. Let's try Clark in Manhattan Beach. He's calling us on line 3 this morning. Hey, Clark, what'd it do, nephew?
Hey, what'd you guys? Lisa May, how you doing?
What's going on?
Hi. Hey, I just wanted to talk about Katy Perry's new music video. Obviously, everybody's seen I Kissed a Girl.
Yes.
I wanted to know if you guys have seen the remix by a guy by the name of Cack Black. It's on Paris Hilton and YouTube, and he actually added girls in lingerie making out hardcore.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Awesome. Better.
I like that.
One of the most unbelievable videos. It's really hot. Cack Black's rapping in the background, and it really added to Katie's music video. It's really good.
That's a fantastic tip. I'm glad you told me, because I am always afraid I'm going to catch some if I go to Perez's site, so I don't. I don't look at that, but now I will. Thank you.
All right, let's go to Chris in Orange. Good morning, Chris. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, what it do? How's it going?
What it do?
So I was down in Tustin Marketplace in Orange County, and hanging out with a friend, and there's a group of people at some tables next to us.
Yeah.
They have a little sign on one of the tables that says North Orange County Harry Potter Readers Association.
It's a book club for Harry Potter?
I have no idea. They were talking about, like, plane tickets for some convention. It was just the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Is that still a huge thing? They still have the book readings flying around,
that's
dressing like
thought.
The costumes and all
those
that?
There's hardcore Potter fans out there.
And they were all, like, middle-aged people, obviously with no life. Like, it was funny. As
yeah.
Hell. Dude, you're a muggle. You don't understand.
Yeah, you just don't get it. It's not for you. That's why.
There may be people who liked those books too much, I think is the point.
That is possible.
Well, it falls, anytime there's anything fantasy, sci-fi, comic book related, you always get your people who just immerse themselves in the world and never find their way out.
That's
they don't leave a trail of breadcrumbs behind them so they can find their way out.
And they're going to be, what, three more movies, three books that have not yet been turned into films? Is that about right?
Yep.
So Daniel Radcliffe is going to be like 40 when the series ends. It's going to be kind of sad,
big
kind of weird.
Big beer gut, wearing a toupee. Yeah, abracadabra, poof. Yeah, you're a toad.
Let's go to Jeff and Bray. Good morning, Jeff.
What to do, nephew?
What to do?
Lisa May, what to do, baby boo?
Going on?
Hi.
I'm nephew. Yeah. So I finally see what Psycho Mike's talking about when you guys make fun of the Armenians. I've had my first ever experience.
Okay, first of all, we don't make fun of Armenians. That is not us.
Nope.
But go ahead. It is Psycho Mike, however.
Extremely pushy. Dude, bro, you need deal, I get your best deal, bro. It's exactly the way he did it. Every single thing he said, he'd give me the best deal, everything. It was
What were you trying to buy, Jeff?
I was buying a suit, just a suit, and he's like, you need socks? You need tie? I spent it on belt, bro.
Did he offer to refinance your house?
No, nothing like that. But like, every single thing, and just, dude, bro, just exactly how Mike does it.
Glendale's my town. I love System of a Down.
Because I'm on medium, bro, covered in hair and jewelry from head to toe.
By the way, there's a great video of that up at krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page, at the video page that's been up there for a while. It's very funny. And I made the mistake of listening to that song Bow Down over the weekend, over the 4th of July holiday, and I couldn't stop singing Bow Down.
Yeah.
I was listening to Ice Cube, and then I just kept singing that song Bow Down. I couldn't get it out of my head. So
Parody has eclipsed the original at this point.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, buy a suit from that dude. You get a great deal on your cell phone contract extension. You get free cologne. I mean, they're very generous people, the Armenians. You're right about that.
All right, let's go to Doug, who has a comment from Irvine. Good morning, Doug.
Hey, what'd it do, guys?
What'd it do?
Hey, earlier this morning, you guys were saying that, you know, Bean has his dog and his tambourine, whatever, in the background.
Yes.
Well, all morning long, you guys got, like, the someone's clicking on a mouse all morning long. Here, click, click, click.
Really? What a surprise.
It usually happens, you know, during Ralph's movie Shelby or something, but, you know, you always hear clicking.
Bean is not a quiet computer user.
No,
he doesn't have his speakers on, but he types constantly.
Is he looking at gay porn?
Probably, but he always swears to us that no one can hear it. So we say, well, all right, but it sounds pretty loud to us.
You know who else is Lisa May?
Lisa's the typer, yeah. She's the typer, if you hear that.
Oh, she's a clicker and a typer.
I got news for you. It's both of you. You both type
loud. It's possible.
It is almost always during my showbiz week, because I can tell. I look Kevin in the eye, and I'm talking to him most of the time, and everyone else is just like, you know, Googling their own names to see if they came up or trying to get a deal on grass seed or something. It's just off. Shopping. No one pays freaking attention. And Kevin doesn't remember what I'm saying or understand anything.
How dare you? I'm your only support.
It's like working in a vacuum, basically.
It is. You're kind of wasting your efforts. Look, I apologize, Doug. I'm in no way trying to be irritating. And the truth is, usually during the showbiz beat, I'm searching for audio to accompany Ralph's stories.
Right.
And that's probably what you hear.
Right. It's to audio. Be helpful.
Uh-huh. Yes. That's what this click is what I'm doing. But your complaint is duly noted, and I thank you for calling.
Or Bean's going to answerlessquestions.com to try to come up with something to ask me about one of the stories.
What can I ask that Ralph will be able to answer?
How many grains of sand is on the beach with Matthew McConaughey surfs?
I want to thank all of our many, many guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show. What a program it was. Guillermo del Toro for joining us. Of course, the film, by now you know, is called Hellboy 2, The Golden Army, opens up everywhere tomorrow. It looks very funny. Thanks to Jay Lewis, who is the author of a new book called Hot Chicks with Douchebags, based on his very popular website, hotchickswithdouchebags.com. You can meet Joe and get your book signed Saturday night at 7 o'clock at Book Soup on Sunset Boulevard in West Hollywood at 7 o'clock. And he's encouraging the hot chicks to come down if you want to get your picture taken with him, the douchebag. He'll be happy to accompany you. Also, thanks to Joe Maloof.
Maloof.
I say Joe Maloof.
Maloof! Maloof! Maloof is on fire!
Joe, of course, is the president of the Maloof Companies and owns the Palms Casino Resort in Las Vegas, and he is the brains behind the world's greatest skateboarding competition, which is going to be happening this weekend at the Orange County Fair, thanks to his friend Rob Dyrdek for joining us today. He's going to be one of the pro skateboard competitors, and thanks to Rich DeMuro, the tech reporter for CBS KCAL Channel 9 at 8 and 10, for his comments on the iPhone, the volume version 2, which is available tomorrow, too.
Tomorrow may be the best show in quite some time. On the Kevin and Bean Show.
So what do you got?
If you were disappointed by today, do not come back tomorrow, because tomorrow's going to be good. We got the movie because it's Friday.
That's good.
We are going to talk to Doto.
That's great.
What? Because emailed us many times, and we have many, many questions.
He ran over some dude, right?
That's what I heard.
Last I heard.
Dave just said in my headphones, no Doto.
I told
no
you.
No You did.
No
yeah.
Doto? Why?
Because he's a flake.
So Bean will tell you about his new favorite website that we need to beat him up over. So we'll do
Doe
that.
Joe is working through some serious psychological issues with the things
you
that
think?
He... I mean, he's one of those guys who thinks very bad thoughts going throughout his day about really, really hurting people. And I don't know what stops him from doing it. But one day I'm afeard he's going to snap.
Yes. How would it be in show business, Kevin and Bean? Yeah, well, try showing up someplace once in a while.
You would not believe how hard it is to book him. It's harder than any celebrity.
It really is.
It's just impossible.
Chris Martin from Coldplay, we can get him in 24 hours. For some reason, we can't get Doto to call us back.
All right. Also, tomorrow, we're going to do the grand prize drawing for the Mayhem thing. You get a helicopter to the show. You get to go backstage and play Guitar Hero 3 with Disturbed.
Rock Band.
Yeah, that too. Rock Band. Sorry. The VH1 Rock Honors The Who is coming up this weekend. We got tickets for you tomorrow morning. Speaking of which, we have from Incubus Mike Einzinger. We'll be in the studio with us to talk about that.
Great.
Selma Blair from Hellboy 2, The Golden Army.
Selma Hayek.
That's what I said earlier.
Yeah.
And maybe the best guest in the history of the Kevin and Bean Show. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't seen this yet, you do have to go to krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page, and go see The Retarded Policeman.
the best TV series ever that's never been on TV.
It's very funny. And we have the retarded policeman in our studios tomorrow.
That's awesome.
Could not be happier with the Ponce Man coming in.
Yeah. It's almost a shame you have to wait 19 hours for that show because that show is so good. If we could fast forward and start it immediately, we would. But unfortunately, we cannot.
I heard it's Eli Manning's favorite show.
Is that right?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Stick around. 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music with the beautiful Cat Corbett coming up next, including some Weezer, also Flyleaf, Bad Religion, Speaking of Disturbed, their latest Inside the Fire will be part of that, Green Day Pepper, and more after this on K-Rock.